picking up another one or just one more. Did that scare you just a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime you get two fouls in the first minute, you're a little scared. You know, World might take me out of the game. So I just knew that I had to, you know, tone it down a little bit. But then I ended up only having like one more foul in the game. So end up working out well.
And speaking of the Wapello game tonight, again, that's you know, it's a big rivalry, and you know they're going to come out pumped up, and you guys need to get the win to stay in third place in the division. Anything special planned for tonight?
No, I mean, we're just going to go out and play our game. They always seem to play really well against us all the time. I don't know what it is, but they always bring their A game when they play us, so we're going to have to bring our A game too, and just get the win, stay in third place.
And that second half in that Pekin game, your defense, you really picked the defense up. And then it seemed to me like that in the Waco game, your defense was pretty good. Like, you guys are really coming together as a defensive team. You're coming out, you're putting a lot of pressure on out of your man-to-man. Is that, have you done anything different in practice to get ready for that? Or is it just maybe you come together?
I just think it's, yeah, the practice, you know, just getting more. You know, we didn't have much practice at the beginning of the year. Now that we've gotten, you know, in the swing of things, we've realized that we play good defense, it's going to lead into good offense, and we've really picked it up on the defense side of the ball, and it's helped on both sides.
Yeah, most years I've noticed Coach Worrell's teams get better and better defensively as the year goes on, and of course you guys probably had the worst schedule in any team in basketball at the start of the year there with all the games with no practice and away games and tough teams. So what are you thinking about as we head down to the tournament trail?
You know, I mean, the way it's lined up, we're really excited. You know, we got a really good chance to, you know, make it to the same point last year and go even farther. We've all, I mean, that's been our goal working all summer is to get to the next point, get up to Wells Fargo, and we're really excited to get started.
Well, we're excited for you, and we're looking for a victory tonight. Let's go out there and take care of the Indians.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thanks a lot. That was Caleb Gerst and Jordan Wagenbach, two of our senior leaders on the boys basketball team.
And I apologize to our listeners. I don't know if they heard the first half. It might be a cord that we didn't have hooked up, but it's hooked up now. Minneapolis Bullets. It's halftime right now of the girls' game. They lead 47-17. And you missed a really hot shooting first half there by the Bullets.
Yeah, that might be the best shooting performance I've seen by the Bullets this year.
I say we had 3 three-pointers in a row, and two of those by Andrea Larson, and I had never seen her take a three-point attempt before, let alone she just swished both of them. What was nice to talk to Jordan Wagenbach and Caleb Gerst. I was trying to listen there, Kent, with the band playing in the background. I couldn't hear as much, but, boy, they really talked about the Pekin game, what a great game it was, and how this game's definitely a rivalry. So it is nice to look down there and see the cheerleaders from Minneapolis and cheerleaders from Wapello just sitting all together down there in a big circle. So even though it's a rivalry, there's still some friendships, too, since they're just right up the road.
We, talking with Jordan and Caleb, I think one of the things that I thought about the other night is that Pekin game could really be a turning point in the season for them, because they come back to win when it looked like it was hopeless. Get the defense going full speed ahead. Follow that up with a nice solid win over Waco, and again the defense looked good. They're getting a little scoring from some other players, although certainly Jordan and Caleb have to score. And Jordan talked a little bit about early in the season that maybe he put a little bit too much pressure on himself offensively, and now he's more or less letting the game come to him, and you could see that out there too, that maybe he's more relaxed, and he's going to score. He's going to get his points. But they need some other people to step up, and they have. So hopefully tonight they can keep that rolling. And I just have a good feeling about the boys basketball team that they're at that point in the season where they're going to start playing their very best basketball. And I think maybe the Bullets are playing some of the best basketball we've seen them play this year. That was quite a shooting performance in the first half. And Wapello certainly didn't make it easy on them early there. They came out, was very, very physical, and it did bother the Bullets a little bit, but they've got it going now, and there's no stopping them. They're up 30 here at the halftime.
That's true, and boy, what a great time for them to be peaking, because this next week the Bullets, I know, have travel down to Keokuk on Tuesday for a JV girls and varsity girls game. Thursday, both the boys and girls travel to Highland. And to be honest, that's the only game for the boys, so that'll be nice for them to have just one game for the week to get ready for their big week coming up. The girls will have the shootout, which we believe is going to be against Notre Dame at Notre Dame on Friday, so they'll have three big games coming up. Highland maybe not as much, but I think Keokuk will really give them a run for their money, and Notre Dame is ranked, I believe, number two in Class 1A.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, they dropped to four. I did see that yesterday. I think they were two and dropped to four after their loss to Central Lee.
Well, they've certainly had a good season, and it'll be exciting to see two of the best teams in Southeast Iowa for sure match up in that shootout.
The Bullets are taking the floor. We're ready to start the second half. And Mediapolis leads 47-17. This is Kim Scheitlin and joined by Kent Harshbarger tonight. It's also senior night here at the Mediapolis, and you'll hear the band in the background also.
And it looks like we've got some new seniors out there on the floor to start the second half. I see Becca Markers out there, Sarah Staley, and let's see who's there. Oh, and Allison Hedges are out there joining seniors Haley Hilliard and Jessica Holstein.
That's nice on senior night, and the Bullets certainly can afford it with a 30-point lead.
Well, the other night when the reserves came in, they played very, very well against Waco, so we'll see if we get that same kind of effort tonight.
Smith throws the ball to Hahnbaum. Hahnbaum gets it inside to Keene. Keene puts it up, and she's fouled by, I believe, Haley Hilliard. Yep, 5-0 Haley Hilliard. That's her second foul of the game.
And I'm kind of impressed when Wapello gets the ball inside, their girls know what to do with it in there. They unfortunately, with the size and pressure, they haven't gotten it there too much for them. But, boy, when they get it in there, they really take it to the hole strong.
First free throw is missed by number 12, Kristen Keene, a sophomore. That second one's missed a little bit too hard, bounces off the back rim. Becca Marker has the ball, and as she's getting it, trying to get it up court, number 11, Ashley Hahnbaum, just goes a little bit too close, too much body, called for the foul. So Mediapolis will try to get it up court one more time. Jessica Holstein will inbounds it to Allison Hedges. Hedges passes to Haley Hilliard. Nice passes by the Bullets to break the pressure defense. Becca Marker gets the ball underneath, tries to take a couple dribbles and loses the handle. It goes out of bounds, so Wapello ball. Tori Blake will inbounds the ball.
How about Coach John Vandenberg talked to his girls about getting physical again, because they came out, picked up the early foul, and they're trying to put the pressure on again.
Three-point attempt by Wapello. Looked like it was going in, but bounces out at the last second by Ashley Hahnbaum. Mediapolis has the ball. Becca Marker double-teamed there over there in the left wing and holds it for 5 seconds. Or I think Coach Rogers called a quick timeout. He knew that was probably going to be a problem, called a timeout.
Yeah, it looks like Wapello has come out with kind of renewed energy again here. And, again, I'm sure that Coach Vandenberg talked to him about it at halftime, saying, you know, we started this game out, we were playing with a lot of physicality, and then we kind of backed off, and you saw what happened. So it looks to me like just those first couple trips down the floor that they're trying to renew that physical presence that they had in the first half. We'll see how Mediapolis, with some different players on the court, how they respond to that.
Jessica Holstein will bring the ball inbounds to Allison Hedges. Hedges passes back to Holstein, back to Hedges. Cross court to Staley, over to Marker. Marker's going to attempt it and pushes it. A two-point shot there from Becca Marker. She has a nice touch to the ball as well. Mediapolis leads 49-17. Boy, there you go. Again, Ken, like you said, when they get the ball, Wapello knows what to do with it. Kristen Keene gets the ball at the key, tries to dribble it down in the paint, and gets the ball tipped away, or kind of loses control of it, actually, because Mediapolis has possession of the ball. It's ball to Allison Hedges. Oh, tries to get it to Haley Hilliard. Haley tried to get it over the defender, but the defender got a hand on it, and Wapello picks up the turnover. Kristen Keene has the ball. Touched by Mediapolis. She has to go across the line to get it, but that's okay because Mediapolis touched it. Keene tries to get the ball inside to Maddie Smith. Not a really good idea there, and Wapello loses the ball.
You know, Keene looks real strong inside, and, you know, she missed most of the first half. She picked up three quick fouls and wasn't able to play, and I'm sure that hurt Wapello's offensive effort especially. So We'll see how she continues to play here.
Mediapolis breaks the pressure. Defense there, full court pressure, I should say. And Jessica Holstein tries to pass the ball to Becca Marker. Becca Marker misses it. Ball goes out of bounds. So Wapello will bring it in. Mediapolis has a 32-point lead right now. Torrey Blake bring the ball across the half-court line. Sets up the offense. Passes over to Hahnbaum. Hahnbaum gets the ball to, or tries to get the ball to Reed. Almost got batted away there by Allison Hedges, but I think Al was called for a foul instead.
Yeah, the Bullets have done a good job on Blake. She hit those two three-pointers, but she really hasn't been offensively, she hasn't been a factor other than that.
So we have Lands back in the ball for Maddie Smith. Wapello inbounds the ball, looking for something. There, Mediapolis to give him something. Keene takes the ball inside, dumps it off to Lands. Lands puts it up and draws the foul. Another quick one on Allison Hedges there. That'll be her second foul. She puts it up. Doesn't drop through, though. Second one is good, so Wapello gets their first point of the quarter, third quarter, with 5:49 left. Mediapolis leads 49-18. And again, you're listening to Kim Scheitlin and Kent Harshbarger. We're here at Mediapolis, Bud McLaren Court, watching the Wapello Arrows battle the Mediapolis Bullets. Mediapolis misses his shot. Wapello brings the ball up court. Passes to Reed. Gets the ball to Hahnbaum. Back to Blake. Into Lands. Back to Reed. Oh, I thought Keene double dribbled there. Didn't she dribble, lose the ball, and then dribble again?
I thought so, too, but I think the official thought maybe it went off of the foot of Hilliard.
Okay. Blake will inbound the ball to Lands. She tries to get it inside to Keene and does over Hilliard, and Keene knows what to do with it. Puts it in for two. So 20 points now for Wapello to Mediapolis's 49. Full court pressure. Mediapolis breaks it. Jessica Holstein has a pass to Sarah Staley. Back to Allison Hedges. Hedges steps up to the three-point line and sinks one.
She nailed one of those the other night, too, so she's got good range out there.
I think she had two in a row the other night, I was thinking, but... So I'm glad that's nice for her senior year to be out there for senior night and make one. And we get the ball to Lands. Wapello does, right, but a little inside the free throw line. She puts it up for two.
Nice pass there by Keene. She started to make a move to the basket, was cut off and dumped the ball over to Lands, who was wide open.
Sarah Staley's going to try one, but misses it, barely. Becca Marker gets the offensive rebound, passes it to Allison Hedges, who lobs it into Hilliard. Hilliard misses it, but it drops in Jessica Holstein's hands. She puts it up for 2 points. Looks like we have maybe the starters set to return to the game right now for Mediapolis.
Sometimes it's your night, and that was a pass that was way off the mark and ended up being a nice assist.
So air ball by Torrey Blake. I don't know if somebody got a hand on it. I don't believe so, because Mediapolis is going to get possession of it. So nice job by the senior. We have Kensley Heater, Aubrey Siegel, Heidi Hilliard, Rachel Holstein, and Andrea Larson back in the game. So we have some more seniors out there as well with Heater and Siegel. Get the ball to Larson. Larson passes it back to Hilliard. Siegel's over there trapped in the corner. She tries to get out of there, takes a step. It's called for traveling. So number 14 checks in the ball game, Aubrey Melvin. I'm not sure who took a seat. It looks like number 10, Sydney Reed. Blake brings ball up court for Wapello. Gets the ball to Keene. Back to Blake. Tries to get it back to Keene, but Aubrey Siegel's there to intercept that pass, and she was fouled, I believe, by Lands as she tried to get the ball up court.
You know, I don't believe Blake's been out of the ball game. I believe she's played the whole ball game, so... The young lady's got to be in pretty good shape, because the pace of this game has been pretty fast.
And as you said, she's the leader in everything. She pretty much, I guess, has to be out there, but, boy, you would think she needs a break every now and then. Aubrey Siegel gets the ball to Heidi Hilliard, back to Kensley Heater. Tries to bounce it to, in the baseline to Rachel Holstein. Rachel can't quite hold on to it, and Wapello will get the ball. Tori Blake bring the ball. Bullets are lagging back there, not playing any full court pressure. Just waiting to pick up the pressure as soon as they cross that half court line. Keene has the ball at the key, does a nice baseline drive there and puts it in for two.
She's really tough inside. She that might have been one of the keys when she went out in that first quarter. I didn't realize how much of a part of their offense she really was.
Heidi Hilliard takes a step there when she gets the ball. So number four, Tori Blake will bring it in. Tori Blake passes to Lands. I think Lands and Keene were both going for the ball, so instead it gets picked up by Kensley Heater. Heidi Hilliard has the ball, makes a drive down to the right-hand side, pulls back up. They get the ball to Aubrey Siegel. Siegel tries a three-point attempt, misses it. Rachel Holstein gets the offensive rebound to Heater. Over to Hilliard. Hilliard puts it up. Air ball. Andrea Larson grabs the rebound, puts it back up for two. Mediapolis leads 56-24.
Hilliard's going to tell you that was a pass.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yeah, she's going to want an assist on that.
So Keene, boy, she's not scared to drive in there and know that she's going to be overpowered. And she almost made it. Actually got her own offensive rebound. Coming up a little bit gimpy, she went to the floor. She's back here down for defense now. Kensley Heater has the ball. Back at the top of the key to Hilliard. Over onto the left-hand side, the left wing to Rachel Holstein. Keene was right there for a block, too.
Nice block, and it's just that kind of night, though. After the block, the ball rolled right over to Heater under the basket. So, yeah, this is one of those nights when everything's kind of going our way. Keene came in only averaging 2.9 points per game, but, boy, she looks tough out there. She's got 6 points and has just consistently taken the ball to the basket.
And only a sophomore, too. I think Wapello's going to have a pretty good girls' team here in the next year or two.
They look real solid.
They will lose Blake, though. She's a senior.
Yeah, they'll have to figure out a way to replace her leadership. But, boy, they got a nice nucleus of young kids coming in here. If they can add a little bit something to it.
Number 22, Granado, checks into the ball game for Wapello. Heater misses the second one as well. Tori Blake picks up the defensive rebound, gets the ball to Hanbaum. Hanbaum over to Melvin. Looking for somebody open, and Keene shaking her head, no, don't throw it to me now. Blake gets the ball, now Keene picks it up, back to Blake, back to Hanbaum, makes a little head fake there. I think that was going to be a shot attempt, but instead passes it to Keene, back out to Melvin, shot attempts, no good. Siegel down the left-hand side, she's left-handed, so you would think that would be pretty natural for her, but she loses the handle, and the ball goes out of bounds. Blake will bring the ball back in.
Yeah, we haven't been real sharp in this quarter. The reserves who started the half played pretty well, but since most of the starting lineups returned, we've been a little shaky out there, forced a few things.
Wapello's still trying to get the ball across the line. Blake gets it to Keene. Oh, they have a 3-on-2 here. Keene was going to take it all the way, and probably a good foul there by Aubrey Siegel, because I think Keene would have just taken it right in for a layup.
Well, probably any foul against Wapello is a good foul. I just looked up. They're shooting for the season about 34% from the free throw line. So yeah, I'd say if they had a good look, foul them. And that ought to guarantee that this young lady nails two here after
That's
I said
true.
That. If it works the other way, it ought to work this way.
Keene's at the line.
That didn't work for
him. There you go. Hits the back rim, bounces out. Number 15, Bradley Hank, checks into the ball game for Hanbaum. Puts this one in, and it hits. Oh, I thought she was going to hit the back rim, but she banked that one. So you only half jinxed, or unjinxed them, I guess, would be the term. Rachel Holstein gets the ball to Hilliard across the court. She dumps it off to Larson. Larson tries to go up for a layup a little bit too far underneath the basket. But it didn't matter. She was fouled anyway. She just won't get the three-point play, but she gets a chance to shoot two at the free throw line.
We need her to knock down a couple here. She's missed two or three tonight. We need her to step up there and knock these down.
Remind listeners, if you'd like to email us, it's at dogcast@meepotelco.net. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad you can hear us now. Missed the first half of the game, but Mediapolis led 47-17 at halftime, and they've just got the offense still going. Now it's a 58-25-point lead, and I'm praying for that 35-point rule. We have 33 right now, but just as soon as I say that, you know Wapello is going to make one and not Mediapolis. So Granado tries underneath basket, misses it. Heidi Hilliard gets the rebound. Taken away, though, by Bradley, I believe that is. Oh, nope, that was Hank. Back over to Torrey Blake. Bradley to Keene. Tries to get it inside to Granado, but Heidi Hilliard comes flying out of nowhere, gets the ball. Gets the ball to Siegel. She's going to try a three-pointer. Misses it. Hank pulls down the rebound. Keeps the ball. Tries to get it across, and she's being fouled closely by Kensley Heater and Heidi Hilliard. And I think they're going to call a foul. Whoops. On Heidi Hilliard. I thought maybe they would call it on Kensley, but maybe it was on the backside. They're trying to swat the ball away.
Yeah, Hilliard made a really athletic play there. She snared that rebound, threw it way down court. Siegel put up the shot, and it was she was then followed up and got the rebound.
Uh-oh.
Oh, right at the buzzer, it's
Keene
again. So the quarter ends with the Bullets leading 58-27.
So it was a closer scoring quarter. Mediapolis outscored Wapello just 11-10 on that quarter. We'll go into the fourth quarter. Probably expecting the same thing. Probably see a few more reserves, more seniors getting some playing time. In between the boys and the girls game, we'll have the senior recognition of the basketball players and any cheerleaders, but I believe they're only basketball players. So, fight song there by the Mediapolis band. And then we'll, palms will start to get sweaty and get ready for that basketball action with the boys that I know is going to be quite a rivalry out there. Hopefully the Bulldogs can carry over the success they had Saturday night from the come-behind win over Pekin and their win over Waco on Tuesday night and make it a trifecta.
Well, the Bullets are going to inbound here, 58-27.
Have some little girls that need to get through before they can inbound the ball.
At least they didn't run out on the court to get here.
There you go. Allison Hedges has the ball. We have those seniors back in. Passes to Sarah Staley, another senior. She's double-teamed over there in the right wing. Luckily, the ball goes out of off a Wapello player's foot, so Mediapolis will retain possession. Jessica Holstein will inbound the ball. Gets it to Allison Hedges. Hedges looks. I thought maybe she's going to lob it to Haley Hilliard, but tries passing it to Marker. And like you say, the pass is deflected, but Jessica Holstein picks it up. Tries to get it cross-court to Jessica Holstein. Again, Wapello, they have a lot. You know, for their height, their hands are everywhere, though.
They're a very, very physical team. They really are, right? Especially for a young team. A lot of times you don't see a young team be that physical, but they are, and they're hammering on people down there. And I think maybe the officials have decided, hey, we're going to let the clock go a little bit here, so when you catch the ball, you better grab and hang on because they're going to come after you.
Sarah Staley has the ball to Holstein, the marker. Back to Hedges. Hedges takes the dribble, and I believe that was Melvin there to almost get it, but picked back up by Marker. Cross court to Hedges. She looks at the basket, decides not to take a three-point shot. That's Al's choice. Shot of choice. Oh, and Keene just nails Sarah Staley in the face. Staley goes down but comes up with a grin, as Sarah always does. She's getting caught over there in the wing every time.
Keene was flying over there, and that's her fourth foul, I believe.
Sarah says, fly at me this time. I'm going to dribble around you, take the shot. She misses it. Jessica Holstein there for the offensive rebound. Staley thought about a three-point attempt. Holstein does a head fake behind the three-point line, dribbles the left baseline and gets fouled by
Granado.
Wait for
pick number 22.
Okay.
It's called for the foul.
That's the 16th foul on Wapello. Jessica will go to shoot two. She was in the act of shooting. And her first one from the charity stripe is good. Gives Mediapolis a 59-32, 59-27 lead. 32-point lead is what I was thinking there. With 6:59 left in the game. I have 60, Kent, to 27. But
they
now they just changed. Okay, because they hadn't given
there.
Her that first free throw, so I thought maybe I'd messed something up. I was going back and looking at my stats. That always makes me feel good to know that I can still count. So.
And we're going to have a foul on one of the Bullets.
Number 14, Aubrey Melvin, was making a move towards the basket, dribbling down their right-hand side. That's our 16 foul, so both teams have six. Next one will be in the bonus. I don't know what they decided. That must have gone out on Mediapolis.
Yeah, Mike Cameron didn't see it, and he pointed to one of the other guys, and they said it was media or what?
So,
the ball
and lands.
Land scores again. She's had a nice night, too. That's 7 points for her off the bench.
So every time we get to that 33-point mark, Wapello comes back and makes the basket. Becca Marker has the ball.
Possession arrow points towards Wapello.
Mm-hmm. Tori Blake will inbounds the ball. To number 14, Aubrey Melvin. Back to Blake. Up to Melvin. Over to Blake. Blake drives down the left-hand side, just pulls it back up, gives it to Melvin, who's at the free throw line. She attempts it, misses it. Haley Hilliard pulls down the rebound, but Haley, I don't think, realized the defender was right behind her, and it was deflected, and Wapello still has the ball. But not for long, because Granado's there with three Mediapolis players around her, gets tied up, and possession arrow will be going Mediapolis way this time. Jessica Holstein inbounds the ball to Allison Hedges. Hedges gets the ball to Holstein. Still haven't got it across the court line there. Pressure by Wapello. Now they do, almost do, but pass is just a little bit too far. Hedges gets a hand on it, and the ball goes out of bounds. Wapello will bring it back. A little sloppy play now. This seems like Kent.
Yeah, it's gotten a little ragged out there. Both teams having a little trouble focusing on the game right now.
I think they know there's hands everywhere. They have to make hard passes, but some of those hard passes are going out of bounds. Becca Marker tries for the rebound, and I thought it was off of her. I thought she had her hands on it, but there must have been a Wapello defender that swatted it out of her hands because Mediapolis gets the ball. Haley Hilliard and Jessica Holstein come take a seat.
And we just got a whole lot smaller out there on the court. We pretty much got all guards out there right now.
Aubrey Siegel passes the ball to Becca Marker. She drives down the left-hand side, gets it inbounds to Sarah Staley. Sarah attempts it, misses it, back out to Siegel. Siegel has one just go all the way around the rim, a three-point attempt, and picked up by number 15, Bradley Hank. Hank tries to pass it cross-court to Lands. Ball goes out off of Wapello's hand.
See, I told you it's our night. We were confused and left somebody wide open, and they tried to make a pass to her, and it went out of bounds. That's all the substitutions. I think we were a little confused on who we were guarding, and somebody was wide open, but it didn't pay off.
Staley pulls up and does a shot attempt, misses it. Aubrey Siegel gets the offensive rebound. Allison Hedges has the ball, dribbles around the top of the key, over to the right-hand side, back to the left to Siegel. Siegel dribbles down, gets it inside. Nice bounce pass there to Sarah Staley. Sarah hesitated just a little bit enough for the Wapello defender to get her hand on it. Looked like it was going to be an easy layup. We have 4:41 left in the fourth quarter. Mediapolis leads 60-29. Staley to Hedges. Just ripped right out of her hands by Tori Blake. And Blake makes an easy layup there. Cut the Mediapolis lead to 29 points. Peter gets the ball cross court to Hedges. Or across the half court line, I should say. Hedges makes a move, and I believe she was fouled by number 15, Hank. Even though that was the one, she was the one that was on the floor. That's a 17 foul, so Hedges will go to the line to shoot one-on-one. Allison Hedges puts a lot of arc on it. Hits the bankboard, but bounces off. Picked up by Keene. Tied up by Heater. So did they call that a foul, or did they call that a jump ball?
They called that a jump ball, and the possession arrow was in favor of the arrows.
It's kind of a quick whistle. I wasn't sure exactly what happened there. They get the ball to Keene. Waplow does. And without the height to stop her there, she drives right to the hoop, puts it up. Misses the shot, but she'll go to the free throw line. But as Kent mentioned earlier, I think they're, what'd you say, 38% for Waplow?
34% from the line.
You know, I think I could even still make that, but I don't know. I shouldn't say things like that. Oh, dear. That one bounced up so high, rolled off the top of the bank board. And now we have Andrea Larson back in the game. Rachel Holstein, Darby Mastner, joined by Aubrey Siegel and Kinsley Eater.
4:09 remaining here in the ball game.
Got a nice arc on that one.
King gets one to drop. So that makes it 60-32 in favor of the Bullets.
King's had a nice game.
Yeah,
I don't know how many points she has right now.
She's got 10.
They have 13. I didn't have that many exactly.
I don't either. I only have her for 10, but okay. She had a good night either way.
She did, right. Because I think there was only one player from Waplow in double figures, and that was averaging double figures, and that was Blake.
Well, actually, Blake was just under that.
Okay.
So. But, yeah, Keene's looked really good. She takes that ball strong to the basket.
Rachel Holstein goes to the line, a foul on the other end of the court, makes the first one. I believe those are Rachel's first points of the night, are they not? Oh, nope, she had a basket in the first quarter. Makes that one as well, so she's up to 4 now. They say 5 on the scoreboard.
We've had a pretty good night from the free throw line tonight.
Have. Very good time for that to happen. Granato has the ball underneath. Tori Blake, pass it back to her. She tries a three-pointer. It rims out. Darby Mastner picks up the rebound. Gets the, trying to get the call, ball across the half-court line. Has a nice pass to Kinsley Heater, 2-on-1. And she passes. Nice pass by Heater to Holstein. Holstein goes up strong, misses it, but gets fouled.
And there's that great job of looking up court again. Just always got their head and eyes up and make the pass. So Holstein's right back at the free throw line again.
She made the first two. Oh, that one rolls out. I still only have 4 points for her for the game, but the board up there says 5. I have 5 now.
Mine's the same as yours.
Okay.
So we have to be right.
Well, that's the way I figure it. So Tori Blake has the ball.
Oh, there's a foul.
And she still hasn't had a break this half either, Kent. That girl has to be tired.
She's played the whole ball game. And she's played hard the whole ball game, too.
Now, did they have a game last night, Waplow?
I think they did. I'm not sure. Seems like maybe they had a makeup game with somebody.
Okay. Mediapolis was lucky enough not to. We have number 15. Bradley Hank at the line. She misses the first one. Second one is up, and that one's good. So Mediapolis leads 63-33. Double team in Darby Master. She tries to get the ball to Larson. Tori Blake steals it. Has a nice pass. Gets the ball to number 11, Hahnbaum. This is it. Wow, what defense. Pressure there by Waplow. Mediapolis gets the ball across the half-court line. Siegel takes a couple, stops, puts it up, misses it. Rebound by Heater. She kind of gets out of the traffic, puts it back up herself. Another offensive rebound, this time by Rachel Holstein. Holstein gets the ball at the top of the key to Darby Mastner. She holds the ball up across, but it's knocked out by Hahnbaum. And Hahnbaum makes a nice left-handed layup there. Mediapolis leads 63-35. Waplow timeout, I believe, I don't know whose timeout it was, but 2:43 left in the game with a 28-point lead for the Bullets. So it looks like another conference win for the Bullets. They only have one conference game, and that's next week against Highland on Thursday, a makeup game. It wasn't made up because of weather. It's made up because of the girls' volleyball team had to play on that Friday, I want to say November 15th, and that was supposed to be the girls' first game. Of course, with most of the volleyball players also playing basketball, couldn't happen. So it was supposed to be two boys' game. Now everybody will be playing two JV games and two varsity games. at Highland on Thursday.
Be a lot of basketball that night.
Farewell. That's one chance I usually get to see the JV boys play, because they play normally, if we're here at Mediapolis, they play at the same time the varsity girls do. But at Highland last year, they played in the regular gym, so I just stayed in there, found my place, and got to watch them play. And they have a nice, talented, fresh soft team as well. I think they have maybe three losses for the season.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed with them the other night. I saw them play Mid-Prairie early in the season, and they played pretty well, came on strong in the second half, got a win. And then the other night, saw them play Waco, and, yeah, there's some nice players out there. And we need them with all the seniors that are going to be walking out here between games.
Yeah. Abby Eberhardt in the game now for the Bullets. She gets fouled. She goes to the line. We'll see if Abby can get her name in the books. This is the first one. That's the second one up, and this one's good. So Abby Eberhardt gets her first point of the game. Blake brings the ball up court. Over to Hank. Oh, wow. Somebody went down hard, but Keen gets the ball and takes it up strong. They have Wapla gets a turn, a Mediapolis turnover. Blake goes up, misses the shot. But she is fouled, so she'll take a go to the line also. So Tori Blake of Wapel will try to get to add to her total. Misses the first one, hits the back rim, and comes out.
You know, you wonder, they're 9-9 coming into this game, what their record might be if they just hit 50% at the free throw line. Blake missed another one.
Heidi Hill, your double team, trying to get the ball up court, but finds Darby Master, the height advantage. Boy, if she had some people on her that were the same size as her, I don't know, it wouldn't be as easy. Offensive rebound by Rachel Holstein, puts it back up and scores two. Mediapolis leads 66-37 with 1:44 left in the game. Hank passes, or tries to pass, I should say, to Blake, but Eberhardt really anticipated that pass, went for it, knocked it out of bounds, so we'll try it again. Andrea Larson and Heidi Hilliard will take a seat on the bench. And we have now Ashley Edges in there and Allie Massner. So two Massners in there, and Eberhardt, a Holstein, and a Hedges. Again, part of that sister group. It seems like a lot of those names we already said, but different first name, same last name. So Tori Blake will inbounds the ball for Wapello.
That means we have a fairly good chance of getting it right if we just call the last name, right?
Yes. Yeah. Gets the ball across court there to Hahnbaum. She tries to dribble through two defenders. Just not going to happen. Eberhardt has the ball and is really being pestered by two Wapello defenders. They get the ball, but they're called for double dribbling. I believe that was Hank that was bringing the ball up court. So Ashley Hedges has the ball. She had, I think, 5 for 5 on three-pointers the other night, last Friday night during the fresh soft game. I don't know if Mediapolis is going to get a chance to shoot, though. The ball just stays in the Wapello side. Wapello.
Yeah, this game, the end of this game is taking a little while.
Yes.
With not too many points going on the board. There's a free throw that's good.
By Hahnbaum.
When your team is shooting 34%, that's a pretty important free throw, isn't it?
You bet. I bet Bud's just looking down here on the court, shaking his head, saying,
and there's another
man.
One that's good. There's another one that's good.
Hedges has the ball, tries to get it up court to Darby Massner, tipped away by number 10. I believe that's Sydney Reed. Yep. She started the game, but she hasn't seen too much action on the floor. Allie Master passes to Hedges. Hedges to Eberhardt, but Eberhardt just a little bit over her head there. So Blake comes up with it, dribbles down, and misses the layup.
And Hedges read the scouting report. She just fouled her rather than give her the layup.
Yep, like you said, that's the best bet there. Oh, she's starting to make them now,
I guess if they go there enough. That's three in a row. That could be a season record.
Oh, yeah, second four in a row. All right. As well. So Minneapolis has a 66-41 point lead with under a minute left in this game.
You know, I kind of joked about what their record might be if they'd made free throws, but if they get to the line most of the time like they have tonight, it really could have made a big difference for them as the year goes on.
Keane's in the paint, puts the ball up, misses it. Granato comes down with it. Rachel Holstein gets the defensive rebound, she does dribble through two defenders. Looked like she was going to take it all the way. I think she thought Darby Master was there, bounced past it.
Right behind her. She was
going
to lay it off to her, but one of the arrows was just waiting there.
Hahnbaum fakes, misses it. Reed puts it up, misses it. Rachel Holstein gets the rebound. Oh, again, tries passing it to Master. This time Master sees it after Holstein yells at her that she passed it to her. Hedges fakes, gets the two defenders in the air and goes around them, gets the ball all over. Now Master has it down in the right wing up to Ashley Hedges at the three-point line right at the buzzer. So another win in the books for Minneapolis. I believe that makes the Bullets 17-1.
17-1 and 17-0 in division play. So big win. Wapello came out and was pretty much game in the first quarter. But after that, in that second quarter, the Bullets had a little string where they couldn't miss a shot and just blew the game wide open. And the second half got a little sloppy at times, but was a solid win again for the Bullets. Wapello falls to, I believe, to 9-10 on the season.
But other than Blake, and I think there was one other senior on the team, Jenna Knutson, they really will be returning a lot of players, and they're a scrappy team. I really look for Wapello to be a team to contend with in the conference here in the next year or two, because they didn't let the Bullets intimidate them at all.
No, they were not intimidated. They had a little spell there where maybe they got a little tired, I thought, and then Keane was on the bench, and that seemed to hurt them. But, no, they never backed down and came back out in the second half. And even there in that last quarter, they just continued to come out and bump, and they're a real physical team. And, I think they have a good future. I had Keane down for 12 points, and I think the scoreboard probably had her for 16, and so I'm not sure what's
again,
exactly right.
Again, I'm sure right. We're right.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be quite so sure on the visiting team. On our team, I'm pretty sure when I put it down.
Yes.
But Keane had a really strong ball game for him, and, of course, you have to take your hat off to Tori Blake. She played the whole ball game and does a good job under a lot of pressure out there as the only senior, and was basically their main ball handler. So for the Bullets, it's what they usually get. They got good balance tonight. I think Larson probably ended up as the leading scorer again. I've got her for 17, and I think that would be tops. But, Heidi Hilliard I have for 9, and Haley Hilliard I have for 9, and Rachel Holstein have 7. Here comes the introduction of the seniors.
We have Kensley Heater, daughter of Jill and Dave Heater. We're going to miss her on the volleyball court and on the basketball court as well. She has probably her best sport even coming up with golf.
Yeah, she's an outstanding golfer. I see her up at Indian Hills all the time.
It would be nice for her this year, hopefully, to break that barrier and qualify for state in golf. She's always qualified for the regional. We have now Allison Hedges being joined by her parents, Kim and Jeff Hedges. So Allison Hedges, also a softball player, and a cross country. She went to state this year with a cross country team. Now Haley Hilliard being joined by her parents, Cheryl and Bill Hilliard. Gets a hug from mom and dad. Haley really busy as well.
Jessica Holstein's our next
Jessica Holstein, joined by her parents.
Kind of a happy, sad moment as a player and as a parent when this happens.
So Becca Marker, our next senior, joined by her parents. Wow, did they say Louisiana State and major in biology? So
go down there and check out the alligators,
there
I guess.
There you go. Tanner Mingo, another senior. So she was a wrestling cheerleader last year, decided her senior year she wanted to go out for basketball. Aubrey Siegel. Wow, Aubrey's a busy girl. So Jerry Woods announcing the seniors' plans. Got stuck on a word there. Boy, if these are only the senior girls, we have probably just as many senior boys. Now Sarah Staley. She was busy in volleyball as well. Is that what I mentioned? So, as a softball player.
The senior girls get a big hand here from the crowd, and they've certainly accomplished an awful lot on the basketball floor, and most of them played on the volleyball team.
Eight seniors. Now we have boys basketball seniors. Izzy comes out there. I hope his mom's here. Oh, that's nice. Grandma's here. I know mom was here for football. Izzy gives grandma a big hug. He gives her a flower. Dustin Belknap, the next senior. Son of Annette and Mike Belknap.
Yeah, and this dates me a little bit. I coached Mike when he was in high school. Dustin has better range than Mike had. Mike was a good defensive player and a good rebounder, but he had very limited range.
I think his sisters had a lot of the basketball abilities. Judy and Chris were both really good basketball players for the Bullets. And Micah Hales. Caleb Gerst, our next senior. Joined us earlier on the Dogcast, but I don't know if that's when we were having we weren't completely plugged in, so I don't know if we got to hear that interview, but you had a nice interview with Caleb earlier.
I think they might have got part of it.
Dalton Scott, the next senior. Son of Rhonda and Jeff. When he talked with him during football season, he said he kind of was talking to Western Illinois about maybe playing football, but it sounds now like maybe he's going
like
to go to Southeastern first. So, Jordan Wagenbach. Joined by his mom and dad. So they're not listening to the Dogcast tonight. I bet they'll leave right after this and listen to the Dogcast. Probably two of our best or most frequent listeners. Looks like we have Forrest Deller next.
I'm not sure we're going to have room for all these seniors out here. We're going to have to build a bigger gym.
We're not exaggerating. They stretch from one end of the gym to the next. If you catch this replay of this on MTC Local Channel 10, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. We still have Brody Armstrong. Are there any other seniors after that?
Well, I don't see anybody else standing in a door, so I think maybe this Brody might be it.
Brody Armstrong. Parents are Kathy and Gary Armstrong.
basketball track, National Honor Society, Friends of Rachel, Junior Achievement, FTC, Robotics, Spanish Club, Cyan.
Mom got a little lipstick on him before the game.
Yeah, he's busy getting it off. Like, I'm not going on the court with lipstick.
No, I don't blame him.
No way.
Brody's kind of a little shy a little bit anyway, so.
Wow. What a group of seniors, and what accomplishments. As you look down there on the floor and you think about everything they've accomplished in their 4 years, not only in basketball, but in sports and academics and music and whatever else you want to talk about. And
I know who we're missing. Jesse Ertz.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the one we're even above, isn't it? They had Jesse.
Yeah, I wonder if
there
must be something going on for Jesse. Otherwise, I'm sure he'd be here. He's usually here every night for every game, sitting on the bench and kind of like an assistant coach now.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have to.
I'm not sure. I haven't seen his parents. Usually Denise is sitting just really close to us. So.
Well, since we've got a minute here before anyone takes the floor, I want to run down over our sponsors again. We want to thank them for bringing you the Dogcast tonight. Minneapolis Telephone Company, proud to sponsor this Minneapolis Dogcast. Watch the replays on MTC's Cable Channel 10. Eland Agency, DMC Mutual. Contact Eland Agency and Des Moines County Mutual for all of your insurance needs. Meepo Booster Club is proud of our student-athletes on and off the field. Creative Visions, hair care for the whole family. Cuts, coloring, perms, and tanning. Dalzell Brothers, your local dealer for Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep, and also your local dealer supporting local events. Ertz Carpet, your home for Duraceramic, Duracemac, Congolium, and Armstrong Flooring. USG, a proud supporter of Minneapolis School and Athletics. Great River Medical Center, dedicated to improving the region's health by providing quality care. SG Construction, currently has lots available for purchase in the RDM LLC subdivision in Meepo. Brewer Agency is your local hometown insurance agency providing all of your insurance needs. Minneapolis Savings Bank, supporters of the Minneapolis community, its students and athletes. Hawkeye Pettershab, fill out an application today for positions now open at Hawkeye Pettershab. Prairie Ridge, providing care for Des Moines County and the Minneapolis community. Myers Construction, no job too big or small. Myers Construction can handle them all. The Minneapolis News, stay up to date on Meepo sports and area happenings for only $35 a year. Main Street Tire, sign up for the Main Street Tire Car Care Club and enjoy benefits and discounts on car services. Deb Massner Real Estate, looking to make your next home in Minneapolis? Call Deb Massner at 319-759-3715. Again, that number is 319-759-3715. Meepo Foods, where customer satisfaction is always first. Proud supporters of Meepo Sports. The Minneapolis Vet Clinic. Large and small animals, routine exams, vaccinations, x-rays, in-house blood work, and surgeries. Wright Electric. See Travis or Ed Wright for all of your electrical needs. Rhodes Jewelry, supporters of Minneapolis students and athletes, Go Dogs and Go Bullets. CMA Services would like to wish the best of luck to our wrestling and basketball teams. Two Rivers Bank, sponsors of the Bulldog Bank and providers of Minneapolis scholarships. Morning Sun Farm Implement, proud to be a sponsor of the Minneapolis Dogcast. Standard of Beaverdale, your local owned lumber and home center, is proud to support Minneapolis and thanks you for your support. Cafe Old World, stop in before or after the game for some Old World's famous pizza. That sounds good
that
right
does.
Now.
That does. I left school earlier tonight and grabbed a piece of pizza, but that sounds really good. So we really have a great crowd tonight. This game, like you said, a rivalry, and with senior night, a lot more people probably showing up. I believe the dance team is going to perform at the halftime of this game, so that probably brought a few more people.
Well,
so
you got the pep, you got the pep band playing. That probably
pep
brought
band,
a few moms
exactly.
and dads out.
Yeah.
Out. So, good night all around so far with the Bullets winning, and now if we can just get a win here for the Bulldogs in this rivalry, We'll have another double win. You and I bringing them good luck here.
I think so. And that'd only be right for senior night. We definitely need a win. And looks like a lot of the senior parents sticking around, of course. The volunteer assistant coach, Bubba Brown, looks like he made it back from Western. He emailed us the other night. He was listening. I'm sure he appreciates the Dogcast when he can hear it, know what's going on. I know my son listens a lot. And last year, actually, when I was at State Wrestling, I had never listened, but the boys had their first tournament play against Notre Dame, and as they're in the hotel room, we had taken the computer, and I listened to the Dogcast. And this year, I did it when you were at Mid-Prairie because it was a cold football night, and I thought I'll just listen to the Dogcast while you and Bill sat outside and were freezing. We should give a shout-out to Bill. I hope he's recovering pretty well from the knee surgery. It was a week, I think, on Wednesday. So I would think every day would be getting better.
Yeah, we hope that we can get him healthy and back with us here for some more action this winter yet. So, Bill, if you're listening tonight, we hope you're feeling better. And if you're not, we hope you got some more pain pills that you can take.
He's probably not ready to come up all these bleachers and sit back here and do the Dogcast yet, but we hope soon he will be. I know we could talk about the upcoming Dogcast. I think schedule next week. I think there's just one. I think it's just you and I next Friday for the girls' shootout.
Right, yeah, and we believe that's going to be down at Burlington Notre Dame. I think after tonight's action, they'll be sure because I think they make the pairings after tonight.
Okay.
And we'll be sure at that time. So.
And I don't think we are maybe bringing the sectionals for wrestling, but hopefully maybe the districts. I know Dave and Brian did that last year, and that was one of the biggies.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure that was one of those things where a lot of people don't make it, but they want to know what's going on, and of course, that's what the Dogcast is all about, is to give you an opportunity. Whether you live in Minneapolis or whether you live in Australia, you can listen to the Dogcast. We had, I'm not sure what her married name is, but Andrea Watkins, who was...
Andrea Draper, and we usually hear from her. We heard her in volleyball. I haven't heard it at all basketball season.
We heard a lot from
her
in football. She tuned into all the action at that time, and so... Andrea, if you're listening to us out there down under, why give us a little shout out here? We really appreciated that, and I think we had some alumni that listened someplace in Europe, in London, and so what a great thing this has been. Our sponsors are a big help to us in getting this game out. Well, both teams are now warming up out on the court as we had kind of a long break between games as we introduced all those seniors. And we were so happy to, I guess mixed feelings. We were happy to see all those seniors out there and get recognized, but it's kind of sad to know that their basketball careers are winding down. And, of course, they've got some games left, some tournaments left, and we're hoping for some big, big things from both teams this year.
And I'm just checking the email here, Ken. If I would have checked it earlier, we would have known that for a while there we were not on. There, we forgot to hook up, and I'll take blame for this. The computer was not hooked up to the audio box. We found out at halftime. Look, a lot of you were saying we can hear the band, we can hear the crowd, but they can't hear us, so really apologize for that. A lot of you, we would have only been reading it. Now it says can hear you loud and clear now. We're really glad. So looks like we're going to have assistant coach Todd Hilton come up here. Girls assistant coach Todd Hilton, I should say.
We'll get the mic switched around here and try to make sure we're still on the air. And well, Coach, got your mic on here. Yeah, we're good to go.
Okay.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Fresh Soft girls this year. We haven't talked to you about how your season's gone. And
well, we've had a great season so far. We've got a lot of kids, a lot of freshmen. We're not strong with numbers, but the kids have all worked extremely hard. Right now, we're undefeated in the season. And I just think the key to this team is every game they've gone out and they've got better and better, especially defensively.
And, of course, we're going to need some of those kids because we had a lot of seniors out there that we was recognized between games. So you think some of them are going to be able to step up and help next year at the varsity level?
Absolutely. We've got a real strong senior class that was evident tonight and with our whole program. And as these freshmen have continued to grow through the season, each one is getting better. And you're right, they're going to have to play some minutes for us next year. We've got a couple of sophomores that will step up for us. Of course, Darby's starting to get some minutes for us now. And then Abby, she can step in and play that guard position for us next year.
And do you have any games left here?
Yeah, it seems like the toughest part of our season is ahead of us. Highland was undefeated when we played them here at our place earlier in the season. And we go up there and face them. It's always tough to play at Highland. And then we also play Keokuk, and then we'll play in the conference shootout, which will either be Central Lee or Notre Dame.
Yeah, so that's kind of be a nice finish to your season. I mean, you should be peaking right now, and having those tough games at the end, it's a little bit like tournament time, which is what the varsity goes through, so you can kind of approach it that way. And I'm assuming that you're doing a lot of the same things at the fresh off level with the pressure defense. And I'm always impressed with how well the varsity girls are able to look down the court and find the open person. Are you finding that at the fresh soft level, or is that something that you've had to work on?
Well, that's one of the things when I was talking about earlier that we just keep getting better at is those things exactly. It's looking down the floor. Defensively, it's the help position. It's the rotation when we've got a kind of what we call a scramble where we've had to rotate and help across or somebody's been beat. And it's those kids starting to understand that. And you can practice it all you want, but those game situations, that's where the kids seem to learn the most. And you're right. This is the best time for us to be playing the type of schedule we have because we've just kept progressing as the season has gone.
And now I'm going to have you put on your other hat for just a minute as athletic director. You've got to be feeling pretty good with this crowd tonight.
Oh, my goodness. It's phenomenal. Of course, it's Wapello, so that's always a rivalry. You know that from your experience here, Kent. And it's senior night, and I think what it comes down to is we've got a fan base that appreciates these seniors and everything they've done, and you work that hard for 4 years and put in the time that it takes to play this game, and it just shows how much our fan base knows and appreciates these types of kids.
Yeah, and of course, the more they come out and watch the ball game, the more money we make, the more things we can do, right? The more basketballs you can buy.
That's never a bad thing, for sure.
Well, Coach Todd Hilton, we want to thank you for joining us tonight and giving us a little update on the Fresh Soft team, and we're going to wish you all kinds of luck in those last three games that are going to be tough. And so hit the practice court, and, of course, the varsity just keeps rolling. That was an impressive win tonight. I thought Wapello came out there early and was very physical with you, and the girls responded to that. So another nice win as the season just keeps rolling on.
I agree, and I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks a lot. That was Coach Todd Hilton. He's assistant coach for the varsity and heads up the Fresh Soft team, an undefeated Fresh Soft team to this point with some really tough games coming up. But we're going to keep an eye on that and see what they do, if they can roll on through this season. And, of course, we just had senior night here and saw all those seniors out there, so we're looking forward to replacing those girls with some of those excellent freshmen and sophomores.
And see some of those sophomores even out on the court right now with the starting. Just think how much better our fresh soft team would be if Heidi Hilliard and Andrea Larson. I think that's why last year they did play the fresh soft, and there was one game they scored over 100 points in fresh soft.
Yeah, they're certainly ready for varsity action, as they proved all year. They've actually been somewhat dominant at the varsity level, and it's good to know that we're going to be feeding some more people into with some talent, and they're learning it, as Coach Hilton talked about, they're learning that system, they're getting better at it, and so they're just going to be able to feed right into that.
Got an email from Hannah Hilliard, who's listening up in Ames, and she wants to wish happy 18th birthday to Haley, but she says Haylers. I don't know if she just did. I think that must be what she calls her. So what a nice night for Haley's 18th birthday and to have senior night as well. So, well, boy, the Bulldogs, I'll tell you what, warming up down there, they are not, okay, now I'm going to jinx them, but they are not missing a shot. So hopefully good things are going to happen. Wapello's warming up as well. And when you look at them, they just don't have the size that I don't think the Bulldogs have, but I know we don't have anybody that's real dominant out there with size either. Schoonover's not even practicing. I think he's just kind of batting the balls back to people.
Well,
not sure why he's not warming up.
Maybe he's ready.
Maybe he's practicing rebounding or something like that.
Sure,
I don't know.
I'm sure hoping that we can come out tonight strong. That's been a little bit of a weakness for the Bulldogs here, is that they tend to start kind of slow. So I'm hoping they can get off to a good start tonight. I think the fact that it's Wapello, at least mentally, they should be up and ready to play. And this has been, as far as I know, a normal school day for them. So they're not like that Saturday. I think sometimes I talked about that,
yeah,
that you got a day off and you don't follow your normal routine, that can affect your, you try to say you're ready, but you're just not mentally in the same spot. But having played, having worked all day in school, they should be ready to go tonight.
And there you go.
Wapello just brings out the best in our athletes a lot of times.
I think so.
And I'm sure for them too. I mean, it works both ways.
So with 5:49 left to go before we'll hear the starting lineups, run through these sponsors, and if you stop in, be sure and thank these folks for bringing you the basketball and wrestling season, the Dogcast. Cafe Old World, stop in before or after the game for some of Old World's famous pizza. Standard of Beaverdale, your locally owned lumber and home center, is proud to support Mediapolis and thanks you for your support. Morning Sun Farm Implement, proud to be a sponsor of this Mediapolis Dogcast. Two Rivers Bank, sponsors of the Bulldog Bank and providers of Mediapolis scholarships. CMA Services, would like to wish the best of luck to our wrestling and basketball teams. Rose Jewelry, supporters of Mediapolis students and athletes. Go Dogs and go Bullets. Wright Electric, see Travis or Ed Wright for all of your electrical needs. Mediapolis Vet Clinic, large and small animals, routine exams, vaccinations, x-rays, in-house blood work, and surgeries. Meepo Foods, where customer satisfaction is always first. Proud supporters of Meepo Sports. Deadmaster Real Estate, looking to make your next home in Mediapolis? Call Deadmaster at 319-759-3715. Main Street Tire, sign up for the Main Street Tire Car Care Club and enjoy benefits and discounts on car services. The Mediapolis News, stay up to date on Meepo Sports and area happenings for only $35 a year. Myers Construction, no job is too big or too small. Myers Construction can handle them all. Prairie Ridge, providing care for Des Moines County and the Mediapolis community. Hawkeye Petter Shop, fill out an application today for positions now open at Hawkeye Petter Shop. Mediapolis Savings Bank, supporters of the Mediapolis community, its students, and athletes. Brewer Agency is your local hometown insurance agency, providing all your insurance needs. SG Construction currently has lots available for purchase in the RDM LLC subdivision in Meepo. Great River Medical Center, dedicated to improving the region's health by providing quality care. USG, a proud supporter of Mediapolis schools and athletics. Ertz Carpet, your home for Dura Ceramic, Congolium, and Armstrong Flooring. Delsdale Brothers, your local dealer for Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep, and also your local dealer supporting local events. Creative Visions, hair care for the whole family, cuts, coloring, perms, and tanning. Meepo Booster Club, proud of our student-athletes on and off the field. Elan Agency, DM Mutual. Contact Elan Agency and Des Moines County Mutual for all of your insurance needs. Mediapolis Telephone Company, proud to sponsor this Mediapolis Dogcast and watch the replay on MTC's Cable Channel 10.
Well, we're about just a little under 3 minutes until we start action here in this Southeast Iowa Super Conference North Division matchup between the Wapello Indians and the Mediapolis Bulldogs.
So So the Wapello Indians aren't on the court right now. They haven't come back, but the Minneapolis Bulldogs still taking a few warm-up shots. Coach Worrell watching them closely. He's going to talk to the referee. Get a little official time here. He told me that's always important. Always know who the officials are. He was telling them goodbye the other night before I was getting ready to interview him. He said, told me how important that was. Minneapolis fans playing the fight song, and here come the Wapello Indians back on the court. We still have 2 minutes left. And the cheerleaders are now in cutoff blue jean attire and flannel shirts, and I'm assuming that's for their dance routine that they will do at halftime. Maybe have a little country hoedown or something coming up. I would think that would be kind of hard. And they have boots on, too. Might be a little difficult to do some cheering.
Hope they don't do any pyramids in those boots. That might be a little tough on the bottom row.
Yeah. So it was Orange Crush night tonight. I just remembered that. When I look over to my right, I see a little bit of orange, but not a lot. And I did see a little bit of it. I think it was in the newspaper, Orange Crush night. I completely forgot about it. I left a little bit to go get some gas, so I'm ready to go to Lone Tree tomorrow. I'm black. I thought it was blackout night. Can't you have orange and black on, though?
Well, not
predominantly
exactly.
White, but that's all right.
I have to be honest with you, it's red and black. I came.
Oh,
right,
it is. It's from SCC.
I came right from work at SCC, and so I'm still wearing my SCC gear, so.
There we go. We both came straight from work.
And, of course, we were glad to hear that Dalton Scott said he was coming our way. I didn't know that, so I'm happy to hear that.
I wasn't listening closely enough to hear how many were coming your way. Was
no,
Aubrey Siegel? I know she was going into
nursing. I didn't
hear
all of them. I just happened to hear that one. So,
get the starting lineup now for the Wapello Indians. Number 15, Holden Brockway, only a sophomore. And for the Bulldogs, we will have number 50, Forrest Stellan, a senior. Will Rios, a senior. And senior number 12, Caleb Gerst, comes out for the Bulldogs. I missed that name. Alex Rollinger, a junior for Wapello. Jordy Wagenbach comes out. See, his parents are still here. That's good. They'll get to see Jordan play. Tucker Massner, number 25, comes out for the Indians. His dad went to school here. I believe that's Troy Massner's son. Number 24, Dustin Belknap, another senior. Yep, Jordan Schoonover comes out for the Indians, a senior. And number 20, a senior, Dalton Scott. So all seniors for the Bulldogs tonight. So we definitely key to the game. We need to come out strong. Definitely play defense the first half, not like the Pekin game. You can't let Wapello get into it.
Yeah, I think you want to come out. If you come out strong and get a lead, and, you know, obviously we're the favored team. We have the better record. And so you want to come out strong, get a lead, and maybe make them think, hey, we're probably not going to win this game. If they get off to a fast start, then they're going to believe, hey, we can win this game, and then they're going to hang around longer. So hopefully we won't wait till the second half to play defense tonight.
So I imagine Dustin Belknap's going to take the circle against Schoonover. I think Dustin maybe will be able to get off the floor a little bit. Schoonover is a big guy. I bet he was a big force for their football team.
And both teams are kind of playing what I'd call a defensive tip here. Nobody looks like they're going to run a play off of it. And the tip comes back to Forrest Stellern, so the Bulldogs control. Gerst shouts out directions on this at the point guard. And there's a pass from Wagenbach inside to Scott under the basket. And we're going to have a quick foul call. And Scott's going to go to the free throw line to shoot two.
I think he was triple teamed there and still went up strong.
That foul was on number 21, and that is Will Rios for the Indians.
Dalton only had 1 point the other night.
Whoa,
and
Scott.
He wanted to take his time on that
one. I'll tell you what, that ball went around, did a 360 about three times and dropped through. So Bulldogs break on top, 1-0. Scott hits the
All
second
right.
one. That one wasn't quite as dramatic, but it did roll around a little bit but dropped through. So it's 2-0 in favor of the Bulldogs. Here from Vernon Bud McLaren Court, we see Wapello versus Minneapolis in boys action. Ball goes inside to Schoonover. He drives on Stellern, misses the shot, but it comes off to Rios. Out front to Rollinger.
Bulldogs playing man-to-man here.
A lot of pressure on there, but it goes into Schoonover, and we quickly double-team.
Double-team,
and the ball is
we?
Stolen away. That was actually a triple-team, and Jordy Wagenbach came in, knifed the ball out of there, came up with it, and we're going to have a foul call, and it's going to be on Schoonover. So two quick fouls on the Indians. The Bulldogs got that 2-0 lead and will inbound the ball and bring it up. Gerst is bringing it up. He's being pressured by Rios out on the point. Goes over to Belknap on the side. Belknap back out front to Gerst. Now Belknap gets the ball on the baseline, tried to throw it into Scott, but the Indians were there and pick it off.
Brockway probably didn't know what to do with that ball. It came so easily to him.
Front, Rios with the ball. Comes over to Brockway on the side. He's against Gerst. Gerst does a good job, cuts him off. Kicks it back out front to Rollinger. Out to Rios. Over on the side now to Rollinger. Inside to Schoonover. He tries to make a move on Stellern, and he traveled. Stellern did a good job. Jumped over on his left side when he started to make the turn, and Schoonover couldn't stop and drug the pivot foot and is called for traveling. So now the Bulldogs will inbound. Rios comes down and puts a little token pressure on Gerst, but Gerst dribbles it up the floor, goes to Wagenbach. Wagenbach throws cross court to Gerst, and he tries to feed inside to Belknap, and the ball is kicked up into the band.
I wonder if they're just trying to get it inside there to draw more fouls, or because, boy, Wapello quickly triple teams as soon as that ball comes inside, and we just really haven't had much success getting a pass inside there except to Dalton Scott right to begin the game.
Gerst has the ball out to Wagenbach. Long three, bounces around and is off. The rebound is chased down by Belknap. He goes back out front to Wagenbach again. On the side to Belknap, he puts up the three. That's no good. Gerst tries to fly in there, and somebody's going to be called for a foul. That rebound was cleared out of there by Brockway, and the foul is going to be on Stellern as he tried to knock that rebound out of there and must have got a little piece of the arm. So here come the Indians up the court.
No pressure by the Wapello or Minneapolis defenders there. A lot of pressure as soon as they cross that half-court line, though.
And they're picking them up, going with their tough man-to-man defense. And here's Scott, who normally guards a post player, but he's out on the point right now. Schoonover gets the ball in the lane. He drives to his right, double-teamed by Gerst, and that seems to be the defensive philosophy. Mm-hmm. Anytime Schoonover gets the ball down there on the block, we're going to double-team. A lot of contact down there between Schoonover and Stellern, and a couple pretty good football players. And Rios tries the shot, missed it. Schoonover batted it out of there, but Wagenbach came up with it, goes to the other end, and we're gonna have traveling called on Wagenbach. He was kind of out of control there, and I think we thought he was going to draw the foul, but he was called for traveling instead. So now taking the ball out of bounds for Wapello as they bring it up. Rollinger has the ball to Rios. Rollinger out front. Over to Brockway. Brockway into Schoonover. He's double teamed, dumps off on the other side
nice
to
block.
Rios and blocked by Scott. Scott got way off the ground, and Jordy Wagenbach brings it down and shoots the two from just beyond the free throw line. So now it's 4-0 Bulldogs.
3 minutes have gone by so far, and really not much scoring.
No, both teams playing aggressive, and there was a bad foul on Scott. He just reached in. He had no chance to get that ball, reached across the body of Rollinger, and is whistled for the foul.
Clotheslined the Wapello player there.
Pardon?
About clotheslined the Wapello player.
Yeah, that's a foul that he didn't need to make, and I hope it doesn't come back and force him to sit down or something later in the game. There's a long shot out there by Rollinger. The ball was loose in the corner, and there was a scramble for it. And I'm not sure. I think we might have a foul call. Maybe it's just out of bounds. No, we're going to have a foul called, and it's going to be on Schoonover. He kind of almost clipped over there in the corner. The ball was loose and took down a couple Bulldogs, and they whistled him for foul. That's two on him already.
Well, Wapello stands. Student section still standing. Ours has sat down. I don't even know if they stood for the beginning.
Maybe they're
going to
stand
line,
until they score. Let's hope they're up for a long time.
Oh, there you go. I never even thought about that.
Coach Ken Spielbauer is talking with the officials there. I'm not sure he thought that was a foul, but boy, it sure looked like it from here. The two Minneapolis players had position to get the basketball, and Schoonover went running after them and ran into them. Looked like almost like bowling pins there, the way everybody went down. And I didn't know for a minute if they were going to call the foul or not, but they came out of the scrum over there and called the foul. So the Bulldogs will inbound the ball, leading 4-0 with 4:39 left in the first quarter here at Vernon Bud McLaren Court. This is Ken Harshbarger with Kim Shilin, calling the action tonight in the North Division of the Southeast Iowa Super Conference. Caleb Gerst inbounds the ball and brings it up to court here. Gets a little screen from Belknap. Now goes into the corner to Elijah Wolf, who's entered the game. He's replaced Stellern. Ball's knocked out of bounds. Will be the still remain with the Bulldogs. Wolf inbounds to Gerst on the point. It looks like Wapple is in a 1-3-1 zone. Going to trap a little bit out of it maybe. Cross court pass to Wolf. He's open for the three and buries it.
Drains it.
So Elijah Wolf comes off the bench and buries the three the first time he basically touches the ball. So it's 7-0 now in favor of the Bulldogs, and Wapello fans are still standing, I guess, waiting for that score. So let's hope they stay right on their feet the whole night.
That would be great.
Massner drives the ball to the basket and has turned over, and a quick up the court pass to Belknap, who scores. That was a nice look ahead by Wagenbach. He fired it about three quarters of the court to Belknap on the run. Belknap had gotten behind the Wapello defense, and it's a bucket for the Bulldogs, and it's 9-0.
Looks like Brody Armstrong, another senior, set to come into the ball game. Hopefully he has that lipstick wiped off his cheek where his mom gave him a kiss during the senior presentation.
And there's a turnover on the Indians. Looks like that's number 13, Gage Carpenter, has entered the ball game for the Indians. Yeah, he just signed recently with Southeastern Community College.
Oh, he did. I'll tell you what. We watched him play several games this summer, and I think I had a dog casted about every one of them.
There's a turnover on the Bulldogs as they tried to throw it under the basket and went out of bounds. Yeah, I know Coach Justin Schulte down there at SEC was really happy to have Carpenter sign with him. It's somebody he's wanted to get. He talked to me about him last year, and he's very happy with him. And there's Massner on a nice drive to the basket and breaks the scoring drought.
And now they can sit down. You're right, Kent. That is why they were standing up. That was a long 5 minutes for them.
Yeah, they probably aren't used to having to stand that long. So they're happy for a couple ways here. Okay. And the Bulldogs had the ball down in the corner to Belknap. He was trapped a little bit, tried to make the pass. It was kicked out of bounds. It'll belong to the Bulldogs still. 9-2 now. Minneapolis leading 2:57 to go. In the ball game, or in the first quarter. Gerst has it. Over to Wagenbach. He looked at the basket, pulled it back down, goes over to Wolf. Wolf drives to the hole.
Wow.
Nice move. Elijah Wolf showed the little jump shot when they stepped towards him. He's a left-hander, and he put it on the floor on the baseline side, went in, and then came back and shot the right-handed layup. So it's 11-2 now in favor of the Bulldogs. 2:32 to go. Carpenter has the ball out front. Looks inside. Now he goes out to Master on the point. Nice cut there by Brockway. Rios gets the ball down on the block and drives in and scores. That was probably the best. And here's Wagenbach quickly shooting.
I thought he was
fouled. Missed. The ball was tapped, but it's rebounded by Belknap and put in. That ball was blocked a little bit on Jordy Wagenbach's shot, but quickly grabbed by Belknap and put in as Belknap was flying to the basket. And there's going to be a foul. I believe that's on Gerst. Some new players coming in.
Colin Poe and number 31, Braden Lands.
So Wampolo's inbounding the ball under the basket. Went into Carpenter. Is kicked back out to Poe. Poe goes over to Carpenter. He shows the jump shot but doesn't take it. Throws cross court to Massner, who's going to drive. But cut off by Wagenbach, and a good defensive job there. There's the shot up and no good. Wagenbach rebounds for the Bulldogs. Tries to hit Gerst in the corner. The ball's knocked out of there on a good defensive play by Brockway.
This is really the way Mediapolis started against Wapello the last time, but then Wapello really got into the ball game the latter part of the first quarter and the second quarter. So I know the Bulldogs know that they have to really keep up the intensity.
Cross court to Micah Hales on the inbound. Now back out front to Gerst. He's being dogged out there by Poe. And there's that drive again by Wolf. Wapello's not recognizing that he's a left-handed player, and Wolf is really making a strong move down on the baseline. That time he drove under the basket, put the shot up and missed, but was fouled. So he'll be at the line shooting two. And that foul was on Carpenter, apparently. And Wolf is up and good. We'll just tell him that free throws are like extra points, and he can just knock it right in there, just like he did as a kicker this year on the football team. Second shot is up. And that one's no good. Comes off and is rebounded by Brockway. So Meepo leads 14-4 here with 1:25 left in the first. Carpenter... The ball went out of bounds, but it was off of Wolf. Poe drove into the lane, tried to make a pass out to Carpenter, but it went off of him and out of bounds. But Wapello retains possession as Meepo touched it last. Ball goes inside to Poe. Now out to Carpenter. Puts up the long shot from the corner. It's no good. Nice rebound by Scott, who's returned to the lineup. Scott goes over to Wagenbach on the left wing. Nothing there, so he comes back over. Now we have Wolf on the right wing. Wolf comes back to Wagenbach. He's open for three, but it's a little deep and comes off to Brockway on the rebound. So here comes Massner down. He tries to feed it out quickly to Lands, but the ball is knocked out of there on a good defensive play by Jordy Wagenbach. Lands looked like he was open, but Wagenbach left his man, went over, got a hand on the ball, and knocked it out of bounds. So the Indians will inbound there. They go back door to Massner. He's down on the block, puts up the shot over Wagenbach. A nice shot there by Massner. Got the ball on the block. Here come the Bulldogs right back. Gerst on the left wing out on the point to Wolf. The Indians are trying to trap out of their zone, but the Bulldogs are moving the ball quickly. Nice move by Scott, but he put it up off the bottom of the rim, made a nice drive to the hole, but was too far under the basket. And down quickly for the Indians is Brockway on a layup. The Bulldogs did not get back on that play. And Brockway got it and got a little screen from one of his teammates and just was able to blow the ball in from the left wing for a layup. Makes it 14-8 now with 10 seconds left in the first here. And Hales throws it away too high, went over into the band. Looked like one of the flute players caught that one. So here come the Indians with a chance to take the last shot of the night. Massner for three. He's way short. And the quarter will end with the Bulldogs leading 14-8 in a low-scoring affair here so far. The Bulldogs jumped out. They were up 7-0 before there was any scoring by the Indians. And then the Bulldogs went up and were up 14-4 at one time, but the Indians reeled off the last 4 points of the quarter and have cut the lead to 14-8 as we get ready to start the second quarter action. We're here at Vernon Bud McLaren Court in Mediapolis. We have the Wapello Indians against the Mediapolis Bulldogs. This is Ken Harshbarger. I'm bringing you the action along with Kim Scheidlin tonight. As the Bulldogs try to pick up another win and solidify their hold on third place in the North Division, they trail only Lone Tree and Iowa Mennonite in the division. The Indians come in with a 4-9 record in the division, and they're 5-10 overall. So in this rivalry, you can kind of throw out the records, but it's a game that the Bulldogs need to win. Inbounding the ball now for the Indians as they had the possession arrow. And Massner has the ball out on the point, and he wants to take Wagenbach on the drive, and he does draw the foul. It looks like that's the offensive strategy, is let's get Massner one-on-one with Wagenbach and try to drive to the hole. See if we can't score or get some free throws and maybe get Wagenbach in foul trouble. It was not a shooting foul, so the Indians inbound the ball. Out on the point is Lanz. Lanz throws off to Massner, a long three, and it bounces way off. That one was way out there at NBA range. Comes down to Scott. Wolf has the ball, now goes to Wagenbach, who drives to the hole, makes a nice little double pump. Oh, that was quite a move. That's one you needed to see. Wagenbach went in, did a 360, and kind of hung in the air and then banked it off for a 16-8 lead. That was a tough shot that went in. There's Brockway shooting over Gerst. No good. Massner almost had the rebound, but Wolf came in there and ripped it out of there. Nice rebound for Elijah Wolf. We come down the floor, and Wagenbach tried to drill it into Belknap. Was knocked out by the Indians. Looks like Carpenter is returning to the lineup for the Indians, and he's going to replace Brockway. So Brockway gets a little rest here. And there's a deep three coming up by Wagenbach. No good. Belknap almost had the rebound, but a nice job there by Poe of blocking him out and coming down with it. Lanz drives the ball to the hole, now picks it back up. Good job by Scott. Cut him off. Massner, and we're going to get a foul on Wagenbach. Massner was out front. It actually picked the ball up, and Wagenbach was just a little bit too aggressive and was called for the foul. That's his first foul. No, that's his second foul. I'm sorry. That is his second foul. So he's in danger territory again. It looks like Massner's going to attack him on the dribble. A nice drive there, and we're going to have another foul. That was Colin Poe going to the hole. Looked like he was trying to pass the ball, and we've got a whistle, and we're going to have a foul call. I believe that foul was on Wolf. So Poe's going to shoot a pair, even though he was passing the ball. Yeah, they're going to take it down on the baseline now because he didn't attempt the shot. He wanted to pass the ball, and that's the right call. We got subs coming back into the ball game now. Returning for the Indians is number 23, Alex Rollinger. And he will trigger the ball inbound. He throws it deep, and Scott goes up and just couldn't come up with the steal. Boy, Scott got way off the floor out around half court as the Indians had to throw that ball in deep. And he got his hands on it, but he just couldn't control it. Went out of bounds. So the Indians inbound on the corner. They go inside to Rios, and he's blocked on a nice defensive play by Belknap. He kept his feet, went straight up and made the block, and the Bulldogs get the ball. Scott now has it out front in the corner to Gerst. He's open for the three, and he'll drain it. Gerst has that nice little set shot for the three-pointer, and he drained that one. It's now 19-8 as the Bulldogs have rebuilt a double-digit lead here. Massner makes a cut. He's open, and he slips and falls, and the ball goes out of bounds. Massner made a hard cut to the back. Bulldogs have the ball. A quick pass and an easy layup for Caleb Gerst, and he draws the foul. Wapello missed a long shot down here. The rebound came out long to Wagenbach. He headed up the court, dumped the ball off to Caleb Gerst, who scored the layup, and there's a foul on Wapello. So we're going to have a timeout here. The Bulldogs lead 21-8, and when we return, Gerst will be having a free throw and a chance at the three-point play.
And if you're listening, be sure and let us know. I know people were emailing us earlier, but we do have the email up. It's at dogcast@meepotelco.net. And it says we have a network cable maybe unplugged. So if you can hear us, would you let us know right now?
Yeah,
because
we
had somebody walk through and we lost the power to the computer. We think we're back on, but we're not really sure.
So if you hear us out there, we'd appreciate an email from somebody that says, yeah, you're coming through loud and clear, or something to that effect. Caleb Gerst is at the line. He will be shooting a free throw here. He's got one shot, made the basket, steps up, puts it off a little deep, and rebound comes off to Wapolo. It's came off to Rios. Now it's kicked out to Massner, and Massner again was trying to drive to the hole. There's a shot put up by Carpenter. It's no good, and Wagenbach clears ahead to Gerst. Gerst looks back to Massner, who opens up for three, and we're going to have a travel call. I believe that travel call was on Caleb Gerst. So he tried to kick the ball back out to Wagenbach. So Wapolo inbounds. Bring it up. Brockway has the ball over on the left wing. Goes into the corner to Rios. Rios was looking for Poe on the, or for Carpenter on the cut, and it was not there. So it's back out front now. Carpenter has the ball on the point. Massner sizing up and driving to the hole. And he missed that shot, but Rios gets the rebound, and he misses. And now there's going to be a jump ball down there. Boy, this Massner kid really takes the ball to the hole strong. They're just kind of clearing the middle of the lane for him and letting him drive one-on-one, and he's getting down in there.
And I was just going to say they missed the presence of their big guy in there, Schoonover, and just as I said that, he checks back in. I imagine since he had those two quick fouls, he had a seat, but now with 5:01 left in the second quarter, I think Coach Spielbauer says, hey, we need to put him back in because they're not getting many offensive rebounds. They just don't have that presence inside.
And Wapolo remains in a 1-3-1 zone. They'd like to trap out of it, but the Bulldogs are doing an excellent job of moving the basketball.
Nice pass.
There's a beautiful pass. Wagenbach drove down on the baseline against that 1-3-1, and the one guy in the back had to come and get him, and he just dumped the ball over to Forrest Stellern, who finished. So it's 23-8 as the Bulldogs are starting to open up a nice lead here. They're executing very, very well against the 1-3-1 zone. They're not getting caught in the corners. They're not getting trapped. They're getting the ball and moving it from side to side, and then when they get a chance to drive, they're driving to the baseline, and they're ending up with a two-on-one break. There's a pass inside from Rios to Schoonover. It was knocked out of there by Wagenbach, but Wapolo recovers. A nice drive there by Poe to the basket, and he dumps off to Schoonover, who gets the layup.
And that just finally puts Wapolo into double figures.
23-10 now, the Bulldogs lead. 4:12 remaining in the second quarter. Bulldogs doing a good job again of spreading that out. And Wagenbach's open for three. He missed it, but Stellern's going to get the rebound. He goes out to Scott. Scott back out to Wagenbach. Wagenbach penetrates against the zone off to Scott. Inside to Armstrong. And Armstrong goes up over Schoonover and scores.
It's a nice fadeaway jumper there by Brody Armstrong.
Yeah, it was against a bigger guy. And, of course, Schoonover's got the two fouls. So I'm sure we'll be fairly aggressive against him. Brockway turns around, puts up the shot. And it is no good. And the Bulldogs get the rebound, and there's going to be a foul call.
And Greg Worrell's mom, Rosemary, just let us know we are coming in great. So we're glad to know that. We did lose the connection for a while because we had somebody walked by and brushed away the – we lost all power.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Worrell, for letting us know.
Yes. I wonder if she's still vacationing in Myrtle Beach.
I don't know. I was going to say up there in Melcher, Dallas land, but maybe not,
they,
huh?
They have been. I think it was last week or the week before we heard from them. And I think Greg said that his mom and dad got to go down there for a whole month. I don't know if they were enjoying it as much as they thought they would be, but missing some grandkids. Glad they can listen to the Dogcast and keep up with their son's basketball team.
And I'll bet you it's a little warmer there than it is here. I'll bet you the golf courses are still open down there. And so anyway, we appreciate you letting us know that you can hear us because we weren't quite sure. We've had some technical difficulties tonight, and we want to bring you all the action here. And the Bulldogs are inbounding the ball, up 25-10 with 3:35 to go. Gerst brings it up, and Boy, there was some aggressive defense there by Poe, and it was almost a foul, but not called. Ball goes in the corner to Wagenbach. He clears himself out to the basket.
Oops.
It's kicked away, but Armstrong picks it up. He drives in, now kicks it out to Scott. It's loose on the floor, but Scott tracks it down in the corner and quickly gets it out. You can tell the Bulldogs are ready for this zone. They are not getting trapped in that corner. Over to Caleb Gerst, and he drives out of there. Wagenbach drives in, back in the corner to Gerst. He drives to the hole.
Oh, nice
puts
try.
Puts up kind
by
of
Caleb
a little hope and a prayer on the drive under the basket, and Wapello clears it out. Here comes Poe
maybe
to the hole. He kicks down to Rios. He gets the layup, and Gerst is going to get the foul.
As you mentioned earlier in the girls' game, though, everything was just kind of bouncing the girls' way. And, boy, there were two plays down here on the boys' end that somebody wasn't there. Or they lost a handle of the ball, and it bounced off a Wapello player, and they got the ball right back. So everything going Mediapolis' way tonight.
Rios is at the line. He completed the layup, and now we'll try to get the traditional three-point play. 2:52 to go in the first half, 25-12 in favor of the Bulldogs with Will Rios at the line shooting one.
Elijah Wolf checks back in for Brody Armstrong, and the free throw's good.
Rios nothing but net on that one. So 25-13, 2:50 to go. Wagenbach has the ball. It's batted out of there. He tried to feed the post, and Wapello batted it clear back into the backcourt where Gerst picks it up. He'll bring it down. And there's Wagenbach making that spin move, and Schoonover.
Number three.
Schoonover was called for the foul. Wagenbach went in, made the spin, came back into him. Probably just a little bit over-aggressive. I think if he had just went straight up, he might have bothered the shot, but he reached in and is called for his third foul of the evening, and he's going to probably be coming to the sidelines. And
okay,
Wagenbach converts the free throw. And Schoonover does leave the game. The Bulldogs also have a couple subs, leaving as Stellern and Dalton Scott, and coming in as Hales and Belknap. And Wagenbach hits the second one. That's the sixth point for Wagenbach tonight. Meepo up 27-13, 2:30 to go.
Kind of a low-scoring ball game. Yeah.
Nice drive to the hole,
well,
but
nice
he doesn't convert the layup.
Pass from
and
Micah
Bulldogs,
Hales.
Man, Micah Hales out to Belknap to Wolf, who scores the layup. Boy, that was picture perfect. That ball never touched the floor. Three quick passes, and Wapello was a little slow getting back, and the Bulldogs burn him. Backdoor cut by Master. He was cut off by Wolf and tried to make the cross-court pass, and it sailed out of bounds. So good help defense there by Elijah Wolf. And Bulldogs inbound the ball. Gerst brings it up. 1-3-1 zone, still employed. Wagenbach has the ball. He clears himself out of that trap. Gerst brings it back into the corner to Wolf. Wolf tries to drive the baseline. Now he is in a little trouble, but gets it out to Belknap, who feeds underneath to Hales. Hales goes up, and he's going to be fouled. I think that's going to be on Brockway. No, it's instead they whistled a foul on number 23. And that's Alex Rollinger. I don't know if that's Rollinger or Rollinger.
I would say Rollinger, but I don't know. I think when Clint announced it was Rollinger, but I'm pretty sure that would have a J sound.
Okay, Hales misses the first free throw. Rios leaves the game, and Poe returns for the Indians, and Armstrong's coming in for the Bulldogs.
I think for Jordan.
And he's going to take Wagenbach's place. Wagenbach does have two fouls, so this is probably a good move here. 29-13, 1:43 to go.
I don't know if he's had a rush yet this game, has he?
I can't remember
Jordan,
either.
I don't think
so. Hales puts it up and in. So 30-13. So Bulldog defense continues to be impressive. Here comes Poe on the run. He kicks the ball out to Brockway. Out to Rollinger, down to Poe again, back out to Brockway. Puts up a long three-pointer and canned it. They were playing a little two-man game out there.
We just heard back from Rosemary Whirl, and yes, they aren't still in Myrtle Beach, but the temperature's 32 degrees, so chilly. We would have welcomed 32 degrees yesterday.
I was going to say, it's probably a little cooler than that here, but the difference isn't as great as I would have thought. We've got a foul called on the Indians. And it's on Brockway, and that's going to send Armstrong to the line.
That's two quick ones on Brockway, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they picked up a few fouls. It seems like it's the same people fouling for them. They have nine fouls in the half.
Now they
Armstrong
only have
puts
one
it up,
foul.
No good. But Hales hustles, gets the rebound, takes it up strong. Nice move by Micah Hales. Hales battled for that ball, tipped it around, grabbed it, and when he got in his hands, he just took it back up to the basket strong and scored.
So the Bulldogs have doubled Wapello's score now.
And there's going to be a foul on, I think it's on Gerst. No, it's not on Gerst. Instead, I believe they called it on Armstrong.
Okay, I thought it was Belknap, but I didn't. I thought I saw 2-4, but you're probably right.
Well, I might. I was just going by who was in there. Nothing's been put up on the board yet.
And Armstrong just checked out, so it could very well have been on. No, let's see. No, it is flashing for Belknap.
Okay, well, that might be a good thing. I'm not sure. I'm glad it wasn't Gerst. Let's put it that way, because I think he might have two already.
Mm-hmm.
Brockway cans the free throw. And that's no good. And Wagenbach, who returned to the lineup, grabs the rebound for the Bulldogs. So both he and Gerst are playing with two fouls. Nice job of bringing the ball back to this side. Wolf puts up a long shot. It goes out of bounds, and it's going to stay with the Bulldogs. Brockway looked like he had that ball, and Belknap kind of challenged him for it, and it slipped out of Brockway's hands and out of bounds. So Belknap's going to inbound, and they run that little triple screen out front. But
oh, dear.
Oh, my.
Passes it right to a Wapello defender.
Belknap was thinking that that was where Jordy was going to be, and he wasn't there, and he threw it right to Wapello, and they come down, and Massner scores. And that makes it 32-19 in favor of the Bulldogs with 30 seconds to go. Bulldogs probably will hold for the last shot. I'm not sure. Back out front to Gerst. Down on the baseline to Hales. He makes a strong move to the basket, and he gets hammered down there by number 23. That's Rollinger.
He wanted the ball earlier. Boy, he was really clapping his hands, but I thought maybe they were just still going for the last shot.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too, but I guess maybe against his zone, it's probably a good thing not to do that. Hales has this one rim out. Yeah, sometimes against that 1-3-1, if you try to spread it out, well, they just come out and trap you, and so maybe the attack mode was the best thing there. If Micah can convert this one way, it'll be a good deal. And he can't get it to go. It rolls out of there, and Poe grabs the rebound, brings it up to Massner. Massner's being guarded by Armstrong. Massner tends to want to drive the ball. Now he kicks it off to Poe. Poe comes back over here on the right side to Brockway. Back to Massner on the baseline. He throws one up there as the buzzer goes off. No good. Good defense by Armstrong down there to make that a tough shot. So we go to halftime. Bulldogs lead 32-19 over visiting Wapello, and it looks like we're going to have a hoedown here at halftime.
I think we're going to have Jessica Holstein come up too. Ken, I'll give you a little break because I know you were carrying the whole load though while I was taking pictures.
Well, is she on her way up here? Yeah,
she's
good deal.
She's up here.
We'll try not to disconnect you here.
So we have Jessica Holstein up here. Jessica, now that the band's not playing, you probably can hear me. When the band plays, it'll be a little bit more difficult. We have Coach Rogers coming up here, too. So tonight's senior night, kind of a bittersweet time, but at least you'll have at least two tournament games, we know, the first two tournament games. So what are you thinking looking up ahead to the tournament schedule?
I'm pretty excited for the tournament play. I'm hoping that we'll win the first one, so we'll be able to play at home again for the second time. And hopefully everything just goes good and we'll be able to make it to that regional final and head to state.
Okay. And West Liberty, you've already played, or we haven't played West Liberty before.
Nope.
That's your first game. And then the second game looks like it may be, hopefully if we make the second game, Williamsburg. And then,
yep,
of course, Mid Prairie, whom we've already played before.
Yep. I'm excited to play, hopefully play Mid Prairie again.
Okay. Kind of a shake. I didn't get to go to that game, but a shaky first half. But it seems like you really came back for the second half against them.
Yeah, the first half didn't go as we planned. We kind of played timid and scared. I think if we got the chance to play them again, we would show everyone that that wasn't our team, and we can definitely play a lot better than that.
Okay, and you have a tough week coming up this next week.
Yeah.
Keokuk on Tuesday.
Yep.
Which would, I'm assuming, are they 4A or 5A?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure on that either.
Probably a good game, though.
Yeah, and Notre Dame and Highland.
Yeah.
So we think Notre Dame. It'll be either Notre Dame or Central League.
Yep. Pretty good week with a bunch of tough games.
So then you'll have at least a week off before you start tournament
action. Yep, we'll have a week off, and I think we play on Saturday.
Right, so. February 9th, and we are carrying that on the Dogcast, so that'll be here against West Liberty. So your game tonight, how'd you feel you guys played? We thought you looked really great. Well, I mean, that first half, I thought you guys were on the pace to score 100 points.
Yeah, I think we played really good as a team. We did good against their 1-3-1, and were able to break their press, and we kept swinging the ball, and I think that's what got us a lot of points. We were able to drive on the baseline, get that layup on the baseline.
So we had a great game. So, again, senior night. You guys, there were all seniors all the way across. It was scary to think there were so many senior boys and girls out there for basketball.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that we have that many still out for basketball. A lot of people, you know, through the years kind of quit, but it seems like our grade kind of stuck it out the whole time.
Well, and we're glad you did.
Yeah.
Well, good luck next week and good luck in tournament play.
Thank you.
So that was Jessica Holstein joining us, senior. And now we will talk to Coach Todd Rogers. In the meantime, I'll try to dig out my recorder here so I can record you at the same time. And I wish I would have done that with Jessica, but it was underneath my notebook and I didn't see it. And we're actually on TV too, Mr. Rogers. So, well, great game tonight. Wow, the first half, what a pace. I thought you guys maybe were coming out to score 100 points. And people that usually don't, Andrea Larson, 2 3-pointers in a row.
She can shoot the ball. I kind of got on her after the last game because she turned down a three-point opportunity. And we have a lot of shooters on the team that just got to have the confidence to take that three-point shot. I don't know what it is about. I don't know if they're intimidated by it, whatever, but you're open. You got to be able to shoot that shot and hit that shot. It opened up so many things for us, and we did. We played outstanding in the first half. We came out well. We might have had a turnover here or there, but the pace of the game was what we wanted it at. We got Wapo up and down the floor well, and we really did a nice job. We moved the ball well. I think we had 5 girls hit threes tonight, which is just awesome to have so many weapons out there. But the game went exactly how we really wanted to, because I wanted to get those 7 seniors a lot of playing time tonight, and we did that, especially in the second half. So I was really pleased.
So, and Jessica thought, when I talked to her earlier, really broke down the defense and saw some full court pressure from Wapello. And that was probably kind of nice to see with next week coming up, to have a little pressure and to see that the girls could handle it and break it.
That is good to see. And we've been working so hard in practice. I don't know if she elaborated on it or not, but every day, it's just a never-ending thing for us. And we need to keep getting better every day, because Keokuk's going to come after us hard. We go down to Notre Dame, they're going to come after us for 32 minutes. So we got to keep working on it, keep improving every day on it. And we had some breakdowns tonight, but you're going to have that in games. You can't play perfect, but we came back hard. And like I said, we found the open girls so much tonight. I thought we passed really well, too, tonight after breaking the pressure. Had some great, great finishes and ones, put the free throw down, so we're improving. I like where we're at right now.
Yeah, we're really impressed with the free throw shooting. Keokuk, we're looking forward to next week. Are they 4A or 5A? I just asked Jessica, but she wasn't sure.
They're 4A.
4A, all right. And then Highland, go up there. And then Friday, probably Notre Dame. And they dropped from number 2 to number 4, probably,
right.
I saw.
Yep, because they lost to Central League. Central League is such a nice ball club, too, there. And like I said, it's going to be good for us. I mean, we're not really, like I told my assistant coach too, we're not really worried about the outcome these next 2 games, these non-conference games. The biggest thing is, and that's why we put them at the end of the season, we need to see where we're at, what we need to improve on, and it's going to be a great stepping stone going in to that first round of district and hopefully a 3-game winning streak.
Yeah, and Jessica's really looking forward to hopefully having a rematch with Mid Prairie. She said they'll be there and show them what the team really looks like, because they were kind of timid the first time, and they're ready. I know she is, ready to play them again, and I'm sure you are, too.
Exactly, and that did turn out to be a blessing. I mean, after regionals came out and everything, and you look back on it, and Mid Prairie showed us what we needed to work on, and we weren't very aggressive, and That would be nice to see, too. West Liberty, though, they'll come in, and the Feldman girl's a nice player inside. She's very athletic, so we've got to take care of business there. And we're fortunate to get past that one, the winner of Williamsburg and Columbus. Williamsburg has a nice team, very nice team. They play in a tough conference, 3A, 4A conference, so okay. They're battle-tested, and they've got two really nice players, but at least they've got to get on the bus for a long trip down here. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, we appreciate you joining us. And I know Kent and I will be there to carry next Friday's game, whether it be at Notre Dame or Central Lee. But we're hoping, of course, Notre Dame, just so we can go closer and you can have a contest against them. So thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you.
You can hear the band playing in the background. We still have 2:44 to go until the second half of the boys' game. Mediapolis leads 32-19, so a 13-point lead for the Bulldogs. Still a nice crowd here, and the cheerleaders just performed a dance routine. I didn't really get to see much of it since we was talking to Coach Rogers. The Wapello Indians are back on the court.
Well, we talked about the Bulldogs needing to get off to a good start, and they did, especially on the defensive end. They shut Wapello out for 5 minutes, I think, probably in that first quarter, and enjoy a 32-19 lead. And like you said, though, at Wapello, Wapello was able to make a run in the second half. And, you know, you look up there and it's 32-19, and you're thinking, man, that's a big lead, but it's only 13 points.
Yeah, 4 3-pointers, and it'd be a 1-point ball game.
That's right. So sometimes you look up there and you got one score in the low digits, and they got the other one in the high digits, and you think, boy, that's a big lead, but that can disappear in a hurry. So we're going to see how we come back out. We need to come out with that defensive intensity that we did. And, of course, Wapello is probably going to get Schoonover back in the ball game. He's got 3 fouls, but I think when they're down 13, they're probably going to have to play him. And the Bulldogs, one of the few worries, I guess, would be Kirst and Wagenbach both having 2 fouls, and you don't want them to get a quick third foul. But Wagenbach's shown he can play with some foul trouble when he has to. So I don't think 2 is anything to worry about at this point in time.
Was it Saturday night we saw that, or was it Waco? He had 2 quick fouls.
It was a Waco game. He had two.
And I think that was all he ever had the rest of the game.
Yeah, I think he said in the interview, he says, I got 2 fouls in about 30 seconds, and I think he's about right. So I'm sure Coach Rogers was probably happy with the performance tonight, wasn't he?
Very happy. And Jessica Holstein talked, too, about how they broke down the defense, and they were happy, and how they're hoping that everything goes well, that she'll have 2 home games to play during tournament time, and then they would like to have that rematch with Mid-Prairie. They met them earlier in the season on that rivalry Saturday. I believe that was January 5th up at Cornell College. Bullets trailed by, I want to say, like 15 at halftime, but came back to within 9. But she said that wasn't really their team that played, and they want to show everybody how they really can play and are hoping for a rematch.
Well, let's hope they get one, because that means they won a couple ball games in the tournament to get there, and that'll give them a chance to get some revenge and hopefully get off to a good start. Looks like the Bulldogs are putting out on the court Stellern and Scott and Belknap and Wagenbach and Gerst, so that's probably one of our taller lineups that we can put out there. And for the Indians, it's Schoonover's out there.
Everybody's here except the officials, Kent. Rollingers. I think that's what the boys are out there talking. Well, we could just probably go ahead and do it. I don't know.
Yeah, call your own like you would down in the Y or something. So we got Rollinger and Massner.
I think maybe somebody forgot
Rios
to go tap on their
and Brockway before. Out there. Yeah, I don't know what happened to them. I know what, Hilton probably gave them their paycheck at halftime and they took off.
Might be. I think Coach Hilton just went to look for them. I think maybe they need a standing ovation when they come back in.
Yeah.
Here's our score. Actually, we didn't even have somebody at the scorer's table. Here they come.
Here they come, yeah.
Officials get a wave from one of the officials.
Tobias
Cameron's
is waving to the crowd.
Head.
Yeah.
See, I don't know the third one. He looks familiar. I know Tobias... Cameron,
is that one of the Bowens, I think, maybe, but I'm not sure either. And I don't have it. I didn't see it any place in here as to who the officials were. But
Schoonover's John with him a little bit, wondering, hey, where were you guys? And he's pointing at the scoring table like, hey, nobody came to get us.
I wish you'd have been gone earlier and I wouldn't have three fouls.
Yeah.
Okay, they inbound the ball and a quick steal by Belknap. And here comes Wagenbach headed the other way. He takes it back to the middle of the floor, drives to the basket, lays it up and in. Nice move. Wagenbach's really doing a nice job with that spin move in the lane tonight. And the amazing thing about it is, one, they don't get the ball away from him, and two, he's able to concentrate and make that shot because his body's got a lot of moving parts when he's doing that. He's still able to go straight up and get the ball to fall for him.
I thought he was going to dump it off, but he just took it all the way in. Had everybody in Wapello in the paint, but that didn't bother him at all.
Okay, so let's see. That's Brockway over to Rollinger, to Rios. Rios drives, makes a nice quick move on Belknap, but you know what? It pays to be big, and Belknap was able to recover and make Rios miss the shot, and now the Bulldogs are headed the other way. Gerst in the corner, back to Wagenbach,
nice,
and he had eyes out, his head and eyes up, and he found Belknap under the basket for what was an easy basket. That was a long pass, and it had to have a lot of zip on it, and it did. Rios feeds inside to Schoonover. He goes up against Stellern, and he's going to draw the foul. Forrest kind of got caught behind him that time, and Schoonover's a big guy, and when you're caught behind him, there's not much you can do about it. So he tried to muscle him out of there, and he gets called for the foul, and Schoonover will shoot two. And he rolls the first one in.
Those are his first points of the game, aren't they?
No, I had one basket.
Yeah. I do have one there.
Yeah, I had one basket. And he rolls the second one in. So, 36-21, Bulldogs. And a little pressure that time from Wapello, but the Bulldogs break it easily.
Oh.
And Gerst challenged Schoonover, went up, put it off the glass and in. Schoonover picks up his fourth foul, and Gerst is going to be trying for a three-point play.
And most importantly is the fourth foul. And he knew if he dumped it off, he wouldn't be able to draw the foul, and he went for it.
Yeah, I really do think that Gerst was thinking, hey, man, he's got three fouls. I'm going after him. And, of course, not only did he go after him, he made the basket,
yeah,
too. So Gerst puts it up, and it bounces off and is rebounded by Brockway. But Gerst hustles over and steals the ball away from Massner. Stellern back to Gerst for the three.
Oh.
It rims out. We're going to have a foul on somebody underneath for the Bulldogs. It's on number
2-0.
That's Dalton Scott. Must have been a little shove in there somewhere. Okay, the Bulldogs slap a full court press, trap press, and it's easily broken here by Rollinger, who dumps it off to Carpenter, who entered the game for Schoonover, but he missed the shot, and Scott gets the rebound. It's quickly up in the corner to Gerst, and he goes to the hole, does not draw the foul this time, but Stellern cleans up, grabs the offensive rebound, and puts it in. And Coach Ken Skilbar is not happy with his team. He calls a quick timeout and motions for him to set down rather quickly, which would indicate he's got a lot to say in a short period of time.
And without Schoonover in there, he probably has maybe change up some things. When Schoonover was out earlier, though, Massner really seemed to take over for the team, and
yeah,
he wasn't intimidated at all.
No, they got some good play from Massner in that stage, and Poe came in the game and I thought gave him a nice little lift, but it looked like they were trying to put on a full-court press here, and then the Bulldogs tried to put one on too, so we may see a little change in the pace of the game here. If you're Wapello, you got to do something because you're down 19 with 6:17 to go, and you really don't have anything going.
Is that Wapello? That is their girls coach, isn't it, down there as an assistant coach?
Yeah, it looks like it is.
He's not. That's unusual.
Yeah,
maybe their assistant coach.
I was going to say, I wonder if their assistant coach could not be here for some reason, and so he's volunteered to help out. Okay, inbounding now will be the Indians. That's Rollinger into Massner. They try to trap him in the corner, not able to. But Belknap comes up from behind and kicks it out of there. That full court pressure caused that turnover. And now Wagenbach comes back down and almost turns it over, but he's able to save it. Scott grabs it. Now to Wagenbach in the corner, puts up the three. It's no good, but there's Belknap for the rebound. Misses on the putback, gets it again, misses again, and has the ball go out of bounds off of him. Belknap, he's laughing because he had two shots point blank in there and couldn't get it to go down.
I thought for sure that second one would go. He even waited, got the defenders on there up in the air and put it back up. But
this time the Indians break the press easily and set Brockway up for three, and he buries it. That young man, when he has time to sock his feet together and really look at the basket, he's dangerous from that range. Scott puts up a shot from the side. That's no good. It comes out to Rios, to Rollinger, up the court to Massner, and he's going to take it to the hole, and he's going to draw the foul. That wasn't a very good defensive sequence by the Bulldogs there. They let him easily break the press, and then they're going to get their people picked up, and Massner just, his eyes lit up because he likes to drive the ball anyway, and there was nobody on the baseline. Scott came in and fouled him.
And he is not very big. I don't know how tall he is, but he really looks dwarfed by everybody out there. But he nails that free throw. Just makes a score 40-25 with 5:29 left in the third quarter.
So they've cut into that 19-point lead, cut it down here to 15 with one free throw remaining for Massner. And he rolls this one around and in. So Bulldogs lead 40-26 with 5:28 remaining here in the third quarter. Gerst picks the ball up out front, and they're going to get Poe for a foul. He was just bodying up on him.
I thought he was almost going to force him to travel.
Yeah, I think that's when the foul was called, when it looked like Gerst was going to stumble a little bit. It was like, okay, that's too much contact. And there's a long pass inbounds under the basket to Scott, and he turns it over tried to pass it, and Massner goes to the hoop one more time. Can't get it to fall this time, and Wagenbach comes out of there on the run. And
nice
he's double-teamed
move.
Over there. The ball's knocked out of his hands out of bounds. Rios and Brockway went over there and double-teamed Massner, and he was in a little trouble, but the ball was knocked loose and went out of bounds. So Belknap inbounds it to Gerst, to Wolf, back over to Gerst. He's down on the baseline to Belknap in the corner. He clears himself. Now comes back to Gerst out front for the three. No good. Comes off, and the ball is loose, and it's off of Wolf. A little contact there between Master and Wolf, and the ball went out of bounds, and they ruled it was off Wolf. So Wapello will have it, and we've had about three trips down the floor now with nothing to account for it. And it's 40-26 now in favor of the Bulldogs still, but 4:45 left in the third quarter. Master drives into the lane. He's cut off, but is able to get the ball out to Rollinger, who drives over to Master. Back out front to Brockway for that three. This one's a little short. Scott was out there and put a little pressure on him, and the shot came up short and rolls out of bounds, and it'll belong to the Bulldogs.
Three-point shooting a little cold for the Bulldogs this quarter. I don't think we've gotten any three-point shots. We've had some looks. I think Gerst has taken a couple and Wagenbach one, but they're just not falling.
I'd like to see us get the ball in the lane to somebody again here. Either Wagenbach. And what do we got here?
Especially with Schoonover out of there.
And we're going to have an offensive foul on Belknap, I think. No, wait a minute. Yeah, on Belknap, 2-4 he called it on. I didn't see that. That was under the basket. There must have been a little pushing and shoving going on. So another turnover. So the Bulldogs have gotten a little cold here. And there's a nice drive to the hole by Lance. He shot that ball in over a couple Bulldogs. And this down to a 12-point lead now. Bulldogs led by as much as 19 in this quarter. There's Gerst. He gets the ball off to Wolf. Wolf drives back out front to Gerst now. Still that 1-3-1. And Jordy Wagenbach cleared the point guard, got in the seam, and jumped up and shot it down for two, and it's 42-28.
That put an end to a 7-0 run by the Indians. Oh, I thought that one was
three
going in.
Looked good by Lance, but it came off long. But Poe gets the rebound. He drives down, dumps the ball off to Rios, and it's blocked out of there by Scott. It'll belong to the Indians. And Micah Hales is going to come into the ballgame now and take Scott's place. So the Indians are inbounding. That's Poe inbounding the ball into the basket. Can't find anyone open. Now goes to Master, who dumps it to Rios. He wasn't looking for it, but it comes back out to Poe. Poe clears himself, puts up the jump shot. No good. Master flies in for the rebound, turns around and gets the three off, and that's no good. And Hales finally clears for the Bulldogs. Wagenbach brings the ball up the floor. And we're going to have a timeout. Coach Wells is going to talk it over. The offense has been a little stagnant. Even though the Bulldogs lead 42-28, They've had several dry spells here in this last 4 minutes, so he's going to call a timeout, see if he can't get things straightened out.
We'll run through the sponsors bringing you this Dogcast tonight. Mediapolis Telephone Company, Elan Agency, DMC Mutual, Meepo Booster Club, Creative Visions, Delzell Brothers, Ertz Carpet, USG, Great River Medical Center, SG Construction, Brewer Agency, Mediapolis Savings Bank, Hawkeye Pettershaw, Prairie Ridge, Myers Construction, the Mediapolis News, Main Street Tire, Deb Messner Real Estate, Cafe Old World, Standard of Beaverdale, Morning Sun Farm Implement, Two Rivers Bank, CMA Services, Rhodes Jewelry, Wright Electric, Mediapolis Vet Clinic, and Meepo Foods.
And we want you to support our sponsors and let them know that you heard about them on Dogcast.
I'll tell you, I've been supporting Meepo Foods a lot here lately. Now that my two of my boys are home from college, and one more week they'll be home, but go through a lot more groceries when there are four people instead of two, and two of them are two 19-year-olds.
And there's a quick pass to Hales down low. Wagenbach took that ball out on the side, and Wapello fell asleep, and he just lobbed it into Hales under the basket for an easy two.
Oh, and now Mediapolis fell asleep. I thought we were wide open in three-point line there. Lance was, and now he takes a dribble
and still nails it. And, yeah, you're right. We didn't get it. Somebody didn't know who their man was because we didn't get him picked up. And they come out. They're trying to extend that 1-3-1 zone even more. So this would be a time to get it inside, but instead it's turned over. Tried to make that pass from too far out to Belknap, and it's picked off there by the Indians. They bring it down, and there's Poe, and he's open in the middle, dumps it off to Rios, and that's going to be a foul on Wolf because he kind of hammered the ball, and Coach Wells is going to make a change. He was not happy with the penetration that the Indians got on that play. Wolf is called for the foul. Rios will go to the line to shoot two, and the first one comes up short. Comes Armstrong into the game. He's going to replace Hales. And Scott's going to return to the lineup also. He's going to take Belknap's place. Rios will be shooting his second free throw. Bulldogs lead 44-30, 2:28 in the third quarter remain. And Rios drops that one right through. So it's now 44-31 in favor of the Bulldogs. Gerst is trapped, makes a dangerous pass, but Wagenbach gets it, and Wagenbach does what he does. He just ran in there and put up the shot and buried it.
Nothing but nylon on that one.
That gives him 12 points.
Oh,
by my count.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that was like a head.
Yeah, Poe tried to clear some area there, and he actually just almost headbutted one of the Meepo defenders. But now the ball came out, and Wolf, is whistled for a foul out on the court.
Coach, we're all
So Brockway will inbound. Hales returns to the lineup, replacing Scott. Poe has the ball. He's working on Wolf. Now goes over to Lance. And there's Brockway driving to the hole, and he's going to be fouled. And right now the defense isn't what it was. We're letting them get a lot of penetration. I believe that one was on Armstrong. So Brockway's going to the line, and his falls off the front of the rim. So he'll have his second shot here with the Bulldogs leading by 15, 46-31. But Brockway cuts that to 14 as he hits the second shot, so it's 46-32, 1:52 left in the third quarter. And there's Wagenbach is open for three, and he missed that one. Well, he got a quick look, and it didn't go for him, and Rios rebounds for the Indians. And he's going to drive. It looks like they're – and it's stolen away by Gerst. But now he's called for a double dribble.
Boy, I thought that one was swatted away. Caleb's kind of pleading his case
I think the official might have missed the little swat in there that hit the ball. It's pretty obvious now. The Indians' plan is just to get the ball, because we're guarding, putting pressure on, try to spread us out, and then just drive the ball to the hole and see if he can't draw a foul. And he did. Lance started to drive, and he's going to draw the foul.
Carpenter checks in for Rios.
And that's going to be on Armstrong. And Scott's going to come into the ballgame replacing Armstrong.
But that only gives us four players. Oh, he's talking to Armstrong. I was getting real. I was like, please don't take any more players.
It's Wolf who's leaving the floor. Armstrong is just over talking with Coach Worrell. It looked like two people were leaving and one coming in, and I'm going, that isn't going to work.
No, we have a nice 14-point lead, but that can disappear fast with only four players.
Lance misses the free throw, and the Bulldogs clear it out of there. Gerst has it back out front to Wagenbach. He drives over to the left side, picks it up, now goes back out front to Armstrong. Back over to Wagenbach on the left wing, cross court to Gerst, inside to Hales. Hales tries to make space, and he's called for traveling. And Coach Worrell shaking his head, doesn't agree with that call.
I don't think he did. I think he had his pivot foot still on the floor.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I'm a little farther away than the official, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt here. Anyway, it's Wapello's ball, and there's Massner. Makes that cut off of that little screen, and he was wide open, but he didn't put it up. Kicks it outside, and the ball goes up and is no good. Rebounded. Poe has it now. Goes over on the side to Carpenter. He drives on Hales, puts it up short. And they're going to say Hales touched the ball. I think maybe he did. He got a little piece of it. And so the Indians will retain possession. 46.6 seconds to go. Massner, and that's going to be another foul on Armstrong. That'll be his fourth, I believe.
I didn't even see that one. Well, yeah, it is Massner, flashing four up there. Can't hear right.
Massner made a nice cut to the basket, and there wasn't much contact, but enough to draw the whistle.
Boy, and the fouls are a big difference here in the second half. Mediapolis has 9. Wapello only has 3 right now. So one more, and they'll be shooting 2 every time. That could make the difference in the ball game too. They're pretty good free throw shooters.
Yeah, Massner cans both of them here. And there's an error pass by Hales, and it's stolen away by Poe, and he's fouled by Hales. Hales just went to sleep there. He didn't see Poe coming, staying down in the Meepo end there. And tried to inbound the ball and just threw it right to Poe, then blew to the basket. Hales tried to recover, but he fouled him, so Poe will be at the line shooting too.
Wapple says this one's not over yet.
Now, if I'm Coach Worrell at the quarter, I'm talking to the officials, and I'm going 10-3? Come on. Now, on the other side of that, the Indians have been the attackers here. They've been driving the ball to the basket every time, and we've kind of started settling for three-pointers and jump shots. Instead of taking it inside like we were earlier in the game.
Poe missed
them both, and a nice rebound by Belknap, who came in the ballgame. And Belknap blows it up the court and throws it away.
We'll really have to watch those passes. Coach Worrell not happy with the execution of the plays here by the Bulldogs.
We probably needed to bring that down and run for maybe one shot here. I don't know. Okay, well, the Indians have the ball again. 46-34. The Bulldogs still enjoy a 12-point lead with 33 seconds left. And there's Brockway, drives to the basket. Nice help defense that time by Belknap. He came quickly and forced Brockway to put up kind of a wild shot. And there's a foul called on Wapello.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a foul called on Wapello.
Okay.
And I'm not sure who it was on, but he gave a number over there.
Cool. And yeah,
it's 25.
Put
it was
now
on Massner.
All right.
Called on Massner on the rebound. So here come the Bulldogs down. Armstrong has the ball over to Gerst. Gerst to Armstrong. Armstrong's looking. Finds Scott in the middle. Scott goes to the basket, and he's going to draw the foul. And it looks like if you can get the ball in the lane, that they're going to blow the whistle. So that's where the Bulldogs need to take the basketball to.
And that one was on Rollinger. But, well, it says 2 for him, so that might be his third. I don't know.
And Scott will be shooting 2. With 7.2 seconds to go, and the Bulldogs leading 46-34 at 7.2 in the third quarter. The Bulldogs lead the Indians 46-34. Scott puts it up and in. Good-looking shot. So we'll have another one. And the second one is good also.
Nice shot. I think he's 4 for 4 from the free throw line.
Sure.
That's
is.
How he started the game.
48-34, and here's Poe. He just blows to the basket. But the ball is swatted away and Gerst comes up with a steal, but the quarter ends. Meepo leads 48-34. And after an impressive start to that quarter, we struggled a little bit, but you know what? We were leading by 13 at half. We're leading by 14 now, so we still won the quarter. And when you're up, why, that's all you got to do.
So cheer from the cheerleaders, and we'll give a cheer to these sponsors since they're bringing you the Dogcast for the wrestling season and basketball season, which are quickly winding down, but exciting times coming with tournament action for basketball and wrestling. Minneapolis Telephone Company, Elan Agency, DMC Mutual, Vipo Booster Club, Creative Visions, Dalzell Brothers, Ertz Carpet, USG, Great River Medical Center, SG Construction, Brewer Agency, Minneapolis Savings Bank, Hawkeye Pettershaw, Prairie Ridge, Myers Construction, the Minneapolis News, Main Street Tire, Deadmaster Real Estate, Vipo Foods, Minneapolis Vet Clinic, Wright Electric, Rhodes Jewelry, CMA Services, Two Rivers Bank, Morning Sun Farm Implement, Standard of Beaverdale, and Cafe Old World. And Kent, when I'm looking at the emails from last night, wow, Brian and Dave, first of all, they weren't here very long because the Lone Tree didn't even make it here. Peak and I think I was, you know, maybe a half an hour. So they got four emails from the same man, and that was the one that must have been asking about the freshman experience, because we got that email, or I brought it up. We weren't sure what it was about.
Okay, and we have a quick foul here. The Bulldogs inbounded. The ball went over to Wolf, and we've got a foul. And did you catch a number there? I didn't see who that was on. But anyway, the Bulldogs will inbound on the side.
And Rollinger's coming out. I wonder if it was on him. That would have been four. No, they just took his number off. I'm not sure who that was on.
A long pass across court to Scott, and he tries to dump it back out to Wolf, and it's picked off. We're just getting a little careless with the basketball here. Massner has it in at the point, does not drive this time. And Schoonover has returned for the Indians. And here comes Master on a drive, dumps it off to Schoonover, and it's blocked by Belknap, I think. But Schoonover gets the rebound, and now he's going to draw the foul. Boy, I tell you, Master made a nice little dump off to Schoonover. He looked like he was wide open, but I believe it was Belknap who came in and got a piece of the ball. But Schoonover was able to get the rebound and went back up and drew the foul. So he's going to shoot a pair now.
It was quickly covered up by, I think, about three Meepo defenders. He misses the first one.
Well, they've struggled a little bit here at the line in the last few minutes, and that's kind of saved the Bulldogs. Puts up his second one, and that's no good either. And Scott blocks out and gets the rebound. Gets it out to Wagenbach. Wagenbach brings it up the court. He's double-teamed. Gets it off to Wolf. Wolf is kind of trapped but clears himself. Back to Wagenbach. Wagenbach quickly to the basket. Throws up a prayer, misses it, but Belknap gets the rebound. And we're going to have a foul, I believe. And if that's on Schoonover, that's five.
Yep, that's it. He's head to the bench. So important foul there. So with 7:05 left in the game, Schoonover takes the seat. And really, he hasn't seen much action. If we added all the minutes together, he hasn't been in there very much.
He got in foul trouble early. He just had one of those nights that happens to you, and everything he did was frustrating for him after that. And Belknap's going to go to the line to shoot two, I believe. He drops that first one in. So here's the second shot coming up for us. Meepo leads now, 49-34, back up to 15, with a chance to go to 16 as Belknap shoots. It's up, and that one's long and comes out to Lance. So 49-34 with 7 minutes left in the ball game, and the Indians on the attack here, but it's stripped away by Wolf. Good defense. He gave help defense. Here comes Gerst to the basket. Goes up strong and puts it in, and we're going to have a timeout by Worrell, Coach Worrell. And I'm not sure, he's not happy with somebody down there. I'm thinking maybe somebody missed the idea of what defense they were in last time down the court. And they were able to get bailed out by a steal there, but somebody probably wasn't where they were supposed to be. Because I can't imagine he was unhappy with the offense, because Gerst just got the ball and drove right to the hoop and scored.
Exactly.
51-34, 6:50 remaining here from Vernon Bud McLaren Court. The Minneapolis Bulldogs leading the Wapello Indians in Southeast Iowa Super Conference North Division action. I'm Ken Harshbarger with Kim Scheitland bringing you the action tonight. So Wapello inbound. And I'm going to see if we've got any kind of a defensive switch here. Yeah, it looks like the Bulldogs are going into a 1-2-2 kind of half-court trap. Now it's just falling back into a 1-2-2. So they got out of their man-to-man. They're in a 1-2-2 zone, and I think that's what Coach Worrell was upset about is somebody didn't get into the right defense. And Massner has the ball stripped
defense
by Gerst. Oh boy,
now.
That was a nice steal by Gerst. He just kept with it, and he feeds Wagenbach for an easy basket. Boy, Gerst just got after Massner and just stayed with it and just willed himself into that steal and then found Wagenbach for an easy two.
Almost another one there, too.
Rios,
the ball gets thrown kind of into Elijah Wolf.
Rios is going to pick up the foul on Wolf. Rios got the ball out at the top of the circle and started to drive, and Wolf's called for reach-in.
That's number four on Elijah.
So at
another
the line,
timeout.
When we come back, there's timeout Wapello. At the line will be Rios to shoot two, with the Bulldogs leading 53-34 over Wapello. And it looks like Wapello's down to one timeout left. The Indians are already in the double bonus as the Bulldogs have been whistled for 10 fouls in the half, while the next foul will send the Bulldogs to the free throw line to shoot a 1-1.
I remind everyone, if you want to stay up to date with the sports and other local area happenings, you can do that with a subscription to the Mediapolis News. $35 will get you 52 issues full of area news, including Mediapolis sports. Call 1-800-949-3175 and get signed up. And if you'd like to purchase pictures of this game or past Mediapolis games and events, go to the homepage on our website and click the Pictures button. Thousands of photos are available and can be put on just about anything from mouse pads, posters, and you can get 25% off right now.
And you have a chance to read Kim Shetland's accounts of the ball game. So make sure you get a copy of the Mediapolis News to read about tonight's game. Okay, Rios at the line, puts it up, and it's good. So he'll have a second shot here.
That's Wapello's first point of this quarter. Kind of are in a scoring drought, but that's fine with us.
Scott grabs the rebound up quickly to Gerst. Out to Wagenbach. He thought about throwing it underneath and then backed off a little bit. Wolf was calling for the ball, but I think that was a wise decision. Now they can lob it up to Scott.
Oh, I think that was a lob and almost
there was
the
a lob pass for Scott that almost went in the basket, but Wagenbach grabbed the ball on the rebound and put it in for the Bulldogs. And they attempted to lob it on the backside of the zone to Scott, and it hit the basket and bounced right off to Wagenbach, and he was able to score with it. And there's a three put up by Master, no good.
Holden Brockway goes down hard.
But Belknap clears out to Wagenbach for an easy two. Hope Brockway's all right. He's up now.
Yeah, I don't know if he hit his head. You hit heard something.
Yeah,
hit.
He hit hard. You could hear it clear up
head.
Here in the cheap seats.
It's cooler up here tonight, Cantor. I'm finally learning how to dress for these dog casts.
Well, I had a sweatshirt on. I took it off when I got here because I knew that Master misses and is cleared out of there by Scott. Here comes Gerst. He kicks back to Wagenbach for a wide-open three, and, it rims out, but there's Belknap. And, he's having a rough night inside. He does a great job getting to the boards, but couldn't put it back up. Missed it, got his own rebound, and this time he's fouled. And he's got that look like, how can I keep missing these? He's really working hard to get in there. He's getting great position, but he just can't finish it tonight. And he's going to shoot a pair now. There's going to be a timeout.
Wapello. Bulldogs yet to have a three-pointer in the second half, Kent.
Yeah, they missed some good looks, too. I believe Wapello called that timeout, and if they did, that's their last one.
That's pretty soon with 4:57 left in the ballgame.
4:57 to go, and they're down 47-35. So I guess Coach Spielmeyer is just thinking, well, we're down 22. If I don't stop the bleeding now, it's not going to make any difference. So.
No. So they have 17 fouls. Mediapolis has 10. So every foul from here on out sends somebody to the free throw line, either shooting two or shooting one-on-one.
It's going to be interesting to see if Wapello comes out with some different strategy, either on offense or defense.
So I was thinking there was another player. Was it Rollinger that was in trouble with four fouls, too? But he right now, number 23, is not even in the ballgame. And perhaps that's why. And is Master number 25? He has three fouls. Of course, we have Elijah Wolf has four.
Yeah, at this stage, three is probably not a problem. No. Four can still be a problem, but at this stage, three is Probably not one unless you just go out and pick up a really stupid one.
Unless you get 2 and 30 seconds like
Jordan did the other night to start the game, yeah. Okay, Belknap's going to shoot a pair here. And he drills that one. He couldn't make it from 2 foot, but from 15, he's deadly. So get the second one here. And that one's right in there, too. And
he just needs to be further away from the basket.
Yeah. You know, he's had a really good game tonight. He's done a good job on the boards. And he's done a good job on the defensive end, blocked several shots. Just has had those two or three easy shots that he hasn't been able to get to go. And the Bulldogs are still in that 1-2-2. Coming out, put some pressure on, and there's Poe. He goes to the baseline. Tried to make his move to the basket and then dump it off to Rios on the baseline, and it went off the foot of one of the Bulldog players. So now Poe's going to inbound the ball, and it's swatted by Belknap. Used those long arms, swatted it down. The Bulldogs steal. Weigenbach comes down, misses the shot. Now he drives the baseline, gets another opportunity, and
nice
he doesn't miss this
Jordy.
One. He missed the shot on the initial drive to the basket. We got the rebound, and they dumped it off to him, and he drove the baseline, and he didn't miss the second time.
A 26-point lead now for the Bulldogs. Yeah, they're on an 8-0 run here.
A long three put up that time by Lance, no good. Feeds up to Hales. He can't handle the pass, but dumps it back to Weigenbach, who finishes. And he's racking up some points, Kim. I don't know how many, because he's scoring faster than I can count them. But
they have 22 on the board. I don't know. I would go by your numbers.
That's right. 22's right.
Okay.
Another miss by the Indians. They come out quickly. Weigenbach has the ball, drives to the hoop, puts up the little one-hander in heavy traffic and got it to drop.
There's a 6-0 run just by Jordan Weigenbach.
Yeah, and this is this one's basically over now. It's a 30-point lead.
Yep.
The Indians made that little run there to get it down to 12 in the third quarter, and then since then it's been all Bulldogs.
Looks like Greg Worrell's going to put maybe a whole lineup in, at least three or four standing up there. I see Tyler Rogers, Robbie Fletcher, Clayton Musselman, Tanner Gerst, and Kelton Gorley set to come in the ballgame. And probably a standing ovation for these seniors checking out.
Micah Hales had the steal dumped off to Tanner Gerst, and it was batted out of there. And will belong to the Indians, I guess. The initial call was for the Bulldogs to have the ball, but now I see they've turned it over. And we do have a whole new lineup coming in, as Kim told you. Seniors over there sitting down, and Coach Worrell went over and congratulated them.
We have the future of the Bulldogs out here right now with all, as many seniors as we have on the basketball team. So the Carpenter passes over to Rollinger. Rollinger's back in the game. I'm surprised they're not attacking more with that different lineup.
We're going to have a jump ball there. A new player in for the Indians, number 35, is Cale Boyson, a junior. He and Rogers tied that up. And so on the tie-up, the possession arrow favors the Indians, so they'll take it out under their own basket. And it's inbounded out deep to Lance over on the side. Now back to Lance, over to Carpenter. Back to Lance. He's going to put up a three. He's open, and he drilled it.
He could have almost hit the clouds, I think, with the arch on that one, but
Brave
deadly.
Lance hits a three. Attempt to feed inside there by Gorley, and that was knocked out of there, and the Indians come away with it, and Lance is putting up another three. This one's more of an air ball. Tanner Gerst with the rebound out to Fletcher. Fletcher's going to the hole.
Oh,
and he's going
nice
to score, and he's going to draw the foul.
He didn't back down at all. I thought he was going to dump it off to the right wing, but he went for it.
No, I think maybe the Indians were thinking about taking a charge, but, you know, they're down 30. He was going with a full head of steam. So, and that is the fifth foul on
is that
Rollinger?
Rollinger.
Yeah, that was his fifth foul. So he's going to be replaced in the lineup by number 33. That's Keegan Lands, another junior.
So two Indians have fouled out now for the evening. Fletcher,
Fletcher came up short on the free throw.
He won't like watching that one in the film room. No.
I can imagine. I can imagine that a teammate or two is going to say something. Okay, the Indians have the ball now. And that's
Well, I don't know how that player, Land, stayed in bounds there on the baseline. I think that was Land.
Boyson, yeah. I don't know either.
I had to look at him. He looks like his mom.
I thought Shuri was out of bounds, but and there's a nice steal.
Clayton Musselman.
Musselman goes to the hole, puts it up and in.
Play.
Nice steal by Musselman, and the Bulldogs are still in that 1-2-2 zone. The reserves in, and they picked one off. There's a long shot by Carpenter. No good. Cleared out of there by Rogers. Rogers going coast to coast. Nope. Kicks off to Tanner Gerst. He picks it up, and they'll reset with Fletcher running the point right now. Over to Gerst. Looks inside. Not there. We're going to get a timeout so we can get some more players in the game. And I believe that's...
I think Trevor Phillips, and I know Keaton Keitzer, but I believe the other one's Trevor Phillips.
And Trevor Phillips are coming into the ballgame.
I'm not sure who's checking out. Gerst and did Fletcher sit down maybe? Yeah.
1:30 to go here in the boys' action tonight. Wapello versus Meepo. The Bulldogs are winning 69-38. It was a 12-point game midway through the third quarter, but since then it's been all Bulldogs.
Kind of a late night, too. I know with senior recognition and all the seniors, it's 20 after 9 right now. We're usually home by now, Ken.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, it's Friday night, you know. Yeah, you get to go to Lone Tree tomorrow,
right? I get to go to Lone Tree tomorrow, yeah.
Well, we were going to Des Moines, but the weather forecast, we're backing off of that now, so yeah. I'm going to probably sleep in tomorrow.
I guess I'll still get to sleep in, but, whoa, that extra little step by Trevor Phillips turns the ball over. Wapello will take it with 1:26 left in the ball game.
Well, I'm retired again. I've been working for the last 3.5 weeks, but I'm done. So
I
get to retire and sleep in again for a few more weeks.
Did you just help out for the semester time?
Yeah, just during the busy times, so I go back down and help out at SEC. And I was kind of glad that when today came and I'm retired again.
Except for dog casting.
Except
and you
for
know
dog
what?
Cast.
That's going to come to an end, too, our season. Then it'll be baseball and softball season. Dog casting wouldn't work very well for golf or track. So
Rogers drives to the hole, misses the shot. Keitzer got the rebound. The fans kind of thought maybe he got hammered, but no call. So the Bulldogs will inbound the ball. I believe that's Phillips inbounding. And he goes into Keitzer. Returns around.
Nice
little turnaround jump shot. Doesn't go for him, however. Cleared out of there by Carpenter. Lance drives. Falls to the floor, and Keitzer comes up with the ball, gets it out to Rogers. Rogers brings it up to court. Now front to Phillips. Inside to Keitzer. Another nice strong move to the hole. Wow. Boy, you like to see the big guys take the ball strong to the hole like he just did. Looks like he's gonna be a tall young man, too. There's Lance for a long three-pointer, and he hits another one.
You know, I think he's hit three or four tonight.
We needed him to shoot that last summer. Maybe he'd have brought some rain as high as that ball gets.
Sounds like maybe he's going to bring some this weekend. Oh, dear.
Oh, there's a
I think there was an off.
A violent collision out there between Phillips and Boyson, and no call is made.
Boy, Phillips really stood his ground. He was trying to draw that offensive foul.
So 1:09 to go here in the game. It's just about done. Inbounds to Carpenter, and he shoots a three and doesn't hit it. So the Bulldogs leave here with a 71-41 win. This is a big win for him.
It's a big one. They've had a good week.
You play somebody like Wapello, and I know their record was 5-10 or whatever, but we struggled with them up there. And to come out here and win by 30, that's impressive. And look up there. 41 points, that's another great defensive effort, and 71's a pretty good offensive effort.
So
a nice win for the Bulldogs.
And they'll have a little bit of a rest. They don't have a game till Thursday when they travel to Highland, and no Friday game as well. So that'll be good for them just to have one game next week and get all geared up for that next week when they'll have their Southeast Iowa shootout. And then they head to IMS on Tuesday, I want to say February 5th.
So I believe that bumps their record to 12-6 overall and 12-4 in the North Division. So they got to be hanging on to third place. They haven't lost since they beat Pekin, so there's no way that Pekin's caught them. I haven't caught any of Pekin's scores to see how they've been doing lately. But
you know, I do have the conference. And I was thinking there was another team that was kind of sneaking in, and I can't remember who it was.
Well, I think Highland has a pretty good record. I earlier when I was looking at it, I was thinking
That's exactly right.
Yeah, they're at 9-5 also, and of course we have to travel to Highland. So, boy, that could be a big ball game as far as taking care of business up there.
And we beat them by 5 when they played here, but that game was very, very close at the end. Very close. Yeah.
So that'll be a big ball game for us when we go up there. The boys will have to be at their best because that's one tough place to play. The ball never seems to go in the hole very well for you when you play there. So.
And I remember the officials were not always people that you usually didn't know and maybe not always favorable to Mediapolis, I'll put it that way.
A lot of times what happens when you go to Lone Tree and to Highland is you get officials out of the Iowa City Association, and you know we're not hiring them. It's not that we don't like them. It's just that they're a long ways away, and we're going to hire most of the time from local. So you get some people who've never seen you. You've never seen them. You don't know exactly what to expect, and it's tough. Mm-hmm. So, but the Bulldogs play defense the way they played the last, I'd say, 2.5 games. They'll have a good shot of winning that ball game.
Definitely. So.
Well, we had a couple turnovers tonight, too, but I think we got them straightened out. We got them straightened out, and hopefully we played pretty well here at the end, like the Bullets and the Bulldogs did. Okay, all you Bulldog fans out there, wherever you're at, make sure you tune in next Friday for that ball game down at the Southeast Iowa Shootout, because no matter who it is, whether it's Notre Dame or Central Lee, it's going to be a ranked team going against a ranked team, and should be one of the big challenges of the year for our Bullets.